This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Just had a double burger.
Did you shut up? I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me a sandwich.
Give me your sandwich. I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, it is afternoon delight, a mid-afternoon delight. It's noontime here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, and we're here with PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your phone calls and emails. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Fred and Paul are here. Andy's coming. Tom is laying low a little bit.
Yeah.
Has he come in yet?
I haven't seen him yet, no.
He said he's going to be in about 10:30 or so.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see him for a while.
Really?
Usually when he says he's going to be here late and he's not here by now.
Gary's in the booth. So we got
I pull that lever down and I say, there, I've done my duty.
He's not voting. He might be doing his duty, but he's not voting. We got a lot to talk about here. Personnel moves.
Yeah.
So let's start with Troy Brown, because that's the biggest move. Troy Brown was taken off PUP.
Yeah, he was activated and... no word yet as to what kind of role he's going to have. Interestingly or not, Fred, depending on your perspective, no wide receiver moves to accompany that. So 7 wide receivers currently on the 53-man active roster. Now, I think you can make an argument. Maybe Kelly Washington's not really a wide receiver at this point. Hasn't played many snaps on offense. He's more of a special team. Or Chad Jackson, inactive last game. So that's the way that situation looks right now. But we talked about it yesterday, the possibilities of long-term absences for Roosevelt Colvin. Our worst fears were realized. He was placed on injury reserve with a foot injury. I don't think, as we said yesterday, it's a huge injury for the short term. I think if they wanted to move Adalis Thomas outside with Vrabel and play Seau and Bruschi inside, I think for one game, that's your best combination. I think over the span of five games remaining, and moving forward into the playoffs, however, I think that you lose a little something by losing that rotation. I don't know how you feel about that.
Absolutely. In a 3-4, absolutely. You know, now we've talked about, we've said it many, do you think they'll ever go to a 4-3? They have used a 4-3 at times this year.
Two of the last three games. They used it in Buffalo, and they also used it in Indianapolis. So there's a possibility that Bill will have to go to that.
And now, if that was the case, you'd have probably Bruschi and Seau rotating as your middle linebackers.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I would think so. But, Bill has made his bones coming up with schemes and plans that no one can predict. So I certainly wouldn't try to predict it this way.
Adalis Thomas' speed, he could actually be a nice middle linebacker in a 4-3? Because usually in a 4-3, your middle linebacker has the most tackles.
I think that Adalis Thomas has the skill set to play anywhere. I really do. I think he could do pretty much anything out of those four linebacker spots. I think he could play each of them reasonably effectively and with equal effectiveness. Let's put it that way. I think that he's that good a player, that good of an athlete that he could do that. But, yeah, I think he could. I think he could play middle in a 4-3. I don't think that that's what they'll do, but I think he could.
All right, and then other news, Kareem Brown was released. Are you surprised?
Not overly, not really. That's one area that they do have a good amount of depth in, Fred, is the defensive line. He's a fourth-round pick, hasn't played in the game. I think he's only active one game all year. He's been on the inactive list for pretty much every game. So he was somewhat expendable. I would imagine that they would try to re-sign him if he clears waivers and get him on the practice squad so you could have another year to further develop him and see what happens next year. Also, Chad Brown,
Chad Brown has been signed.
Is back. He's in the locker room today. He spoke talking about, you know, this was he had a couple of teams that had contacted his agent, but this was the one team that he was hoping would call. Not obviously in the circumstances that he wished for. You know, you don't want to see a guy like Roosevelt Colvin, as he called him, one of his comrades, go down. But he is very excited to be back, and this is the only team, I think, that he would have come back for.
See, Chad Brown's the guy, like, he's the kind of guy I would love to see do well.
He's a classy,
nice guy. But, man, he just doesn't do it when he's out there for me, you know?
I'm not sure that this is a perfect fit for him. I think if he could line up on the outside as one of those edge rushers and rush the passer, you know,
exclusively,
you know, 80-90% of the time, I think that he could be fairly productive. But you know what? That's just not what we do here.
Right.
You know, to quote Bill, that's not how they do it. So you have to be able to do other things. You have to be able to cover. You have to be able to be stout and two gap against the run, set the edge, and do all those things that Mike Vrabel and Colvin and Adalys Thomas have done, and guys like Roman Pfeiffer have done in the past, and Willie McGinnis, and everybody else that's come through here. So, you know, I think that Chad Brown is a good signing in terms of insurance, but if he has to play any significant snaps, I don't think that's a good sign.
Yeah. All right. What else? Today was media day. We have pizza, so that means there's a lot of media here. But also, Bill Belichick had his press conference. Did Tom Brady talk today?
Brady did talk. I did not get in on that. I was talking to Adalys Thomas and Chad Brown and little Eric Alexander as well. Trying to work on the linebacker piece, obviously.
Okay, so
I don't know what Tom
had to
say.
Was Andy there for Brady?
Andy may have been. I didn't speak with him.
Okay. What about Belichick? What's he talking about?
Bill was obviously, you know, I should start off by saying Bill opened his press conference today by speaking on behalf of the organization, offering his condolences and thoughts and prayers to the family of Sean Taylor and the Redskins family. And Bill mentioned specifically, well, we have obviously some guys here with ties to Miami Hurricanes and ties to Sean, and spoken to some of those guys and whatnot. Now, that would be at this point Vince Wilfork and Brandon Merriweather. And you know, I think a lot of us in the locker room were looking to talk to Merriweather specifically because he had made that comment about Taylor being a mentor to him. Mm. So I'm wondering how hard this hit. He was in the locker room briefly, and then he left. So I'm guessing that he didn't. I guess I'm guessing that he knew that people might be looking for him, and he wasn't interested in talking about it, which is certainly understandable. I'm not sure I would want to talk about it at this stage either.
Yep.
And Bill went on to talk about the Ravens, really over the top, Fred, and not exaggerating, but over the top about Ed Reed and his admiration. No, we all think that he's one of the best defensive players in football, and Bill called him that and more. He actually made a comment, which I thought was interesting. He said that you would think common sense would dictate that it's a better coverage to have the deep field covered with two deep safeties. Well, in Ed Reed's case, he thinks it's actually better to have just one, because the other guy's not as good as Ed Reed. Hmm. And there's such a difference that he can actually cover the whole deep middle, the whole deep field by himself better than two guys can.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it was high praise. And like I said, I don't even think it was exaggerated. I think Ed Reed is a terrific player.
He didn't mention Ray Lewis, though.
Never mentioned Ray Lewis. And only when he rattled off every name on the defense. But when he was talking about guys that were, you know, he talked about Kelly Gregg and Haloti Ngata up front. And then he talked about Terrell Suggs off the edge. He talked about McAllister and Roll at the corners specifically, and Landry, the safety with Reed.
Right.
And he even mentioned Bart Scott.
Wow.
Because he talked about all the guys that they had at the Pro Bowl.
He didn't mention Ray.
And he did not mention Ray Lewis. He mentioned Lewis when he went down player for player.
Right.
And then he said Scott and Lewis inside. That, I think, was the only Ray Lewis mentioning.
Good.
Good.
And I would imagine he steered clear from their offense. Didn't really get
Never
into
really
that.
Mentioned the offense. Yeah, well, no, talked about the coaching
nothing good
staff.
To say about it.
The veteran coaching staff, been in and won a lot of big games. He mentioned a lot of similarities, a lot of the same stuff he said last week for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it was very similar. One thing that's totally off topic for the Patriots that I thought was worth it, if anybody out there is you know, listening and likes to listen to Bill talk about history stuff, which I find sometimes the most fascinating stuff that he talks about, but I'm an old fart, I guess. At the very end of the press conference, the last question was asked about the Army-Navy game, and Bill talked about that passionately. And I think that our listeners, who are obviously Belichick fans, would would probably be interested in listening to how Bill talked about
that. Well, you can
that.
Hear that on Patriots.com, right. as well as, I assume, Brian Billick's going to be calling in.
That'll be tomorrow. The
oh, tomorrow.
Because we have a Monday
right.
night game. So right. Billick gonna... and I'm not sure who the player is.
So why
is.
Did we do pizza today?
Because today is Media Day. It's Wednesday.
Well, usually Media Day is the day that the opposing team calls in.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
So they'll have pizza tomorrow, too, you think?
Oh. Probably not.
Oh, okay.
You think we can arrange that, though?
All right. So we're left to wonder what role Troy Brown will have this week and weeks coming up. But like you said, with Chad Jackson being not dressed last week and Kelly Washington really a special teamer, there's a chance that he could dress this week. You know? He could be one of the active 45.
Sure, I think there's a definite chance of that. I don't know exactly what will happen and what role he will have, but Bill did say, and he was asked specifically about this, he's been a versatile player who's done a lot of things for us in the past, offense, defense, special teams. We will do what we think is, and I'll get the exact quote, but he'll be used in the best way for the team. And then he was asked specifically to follow up, saying, so are you saying there's a chance that he could play defense? And he repeated it. I want to get it right here. Hold on.
All right. Going through the notes.
I'm going through the notebook. You know my maniacal notebook here. All right. We'll determine his role on a week-to-week basis. Obviously, he's a very experienced player, and he'll have the opportunity to fill some different spots for us. And then he was asked the follow-up, is it possible that he could fill all of those roles that you mentioned, including defense? Anything is possible. We'll do whatever we need him to do to help us win.
Right.
So now, about a month or so ago, or a month and a half ago, I don't think we're going to see him on defense either.
But no, but I know what he said about a month ago.
Month and a half ago, he said on WEEI, when asked specifically about defense, he said no. Troy is strictly an offensive player and special teams player. And that's where he's working in practice. Now, I have no doubt that that's what he's doing in practice.
But was the question more, will he be brought back for defense? And I think he said he's not going to be.
No, I'm not calling him out. And look, things change.
No, I know.
They had a couple of secondary guys banged up Sunday
night. Well, that's
true.
Yeah.
You know, things change. I'm not coming at Bill for changing his tune. I don't think he's changed anything. I think he's very consistent with his best interest of the team approach. I think he's pretty consistent with that.
Any word on Gay, who left the game with a bad back?
Well, he spoke on Monday, and I wasn't here on Monday, but Eric was. And he said that, you know, he was a little sore, to be sure.
Well, singed.
Singed?
Singed,
burned. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like toast?
But he says he plans on playing all 16 games.
Okay.
I think that the health thing with him is something
it's
a mental thing with him right now. He wants to show everybody that he's not a frail player.
Okay.
And whatnot. And I think that's very important to him. He was very adamant about he'll be ready to go on Monday and he will be playing every game is what he said.
All right. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. You know, okay, here's a theory that I came up with last night, Paul.
I can't wait to hear this one.
We're talking about, you know, we can't figure out what they were thinking about without running Maroney or anyone else in the first half of that game. And why, you know, what they're doing, why they're not worried about balancing things out. And I'm thinking to myself, if you've got a team that like they do, why do you even care about balancing things out? You want to get the ball back as often as possible, you know, as opposed to some other teams that want to keep the ball away from the other offense by extending drives and limit the amount of times that the other team has their hands in the ball. Patriots aren't as concerned about that. They want to score as quickly as they can, get back on the field because they believe that pretty much every time their offense is out there, they can score.
Well, they definitely
they want to get as many possessions as they can in a game. And they're not going to do that by long, extended drives.
But they've had plenty of long, extended drives this year. They've had great ball control drives.
Well, are they because that's what
they throw the ball, but they still ball control.
But is that because that's what the other defense was giving them?
No, I think it's as simple as that. I mean, I think we can try to, you know, and Tom can get all mad and yell and say that we're just making excuses for him. But I think if they felt like running the ball was the way to go about the game plan Sunday night, Lawrence Maroney wouldn't have been out there. more than he was. There's no question in my mind that they felt that was the best thing to do against Philadelphia's defense. What I was interested in finding out is why they felt that.
Right.
Not that I'm saying that they were wrong, because I don't know. I don't know enough.
We just want to know
why. I don't know how to put together a game plan, or otherwise I'd be a coach. I wanted to know why. What about Philadelphia's defense led Bill to think that? I have no question in my mind that Bill felt the best way to go about attacking the Eagles was to do it out of a spread formation, hurry up, with 4 and 5 wide receiver sets.
I think that in the past, most coaches would say, if you can run the ball, run it. You know, because when you throw the ball, three things can happen and two of them are bad. You heard that old thing.
Yep.
So if you can win by running, you win by running. I think this team says if you can win either way, we'd rather pass.
Yeah, and I think that I don't think there's any question you're right about how this team feels. And I think that that's really permeated the entire league. I don't think there's too many teams that feel like, well, we have to. I mean, Pittsburgh still probably does. And there's some other teams, maybe Denver. There's some teams that still want to do that. But I think that it's like I think Jaworski says it all the time. And I'm probably going to – I think he always says, you throw to score, you run to win. In other words, you throw the ball to get points on the board and get a lead, and then you run the ball to win the game and close it out. That's the only –
That's what Jaworski says.
These teams that think that, you have to run to set up the pass, that's like –
You think that's gone.
Don't you think so?
I think
that's 1970s behavior.
I think that the short, efficient pass is as high percentage these days as the
run. And it's easier. I mean, don't take this the wrong way because it's not meant to be, okay? But don't you think that they feel like a lot of those throws to Wes Welker, or the 2001 version of the throws that they used to do to Patton and Brown?
Sure.
They were running plays. They were extended handoffs.
Absolutely.
He had to have 4 or 5 catches at or around the line of scrimmage
absolutely.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
Those are running plays.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that's no, but please don't kill me here.
They are.
That's not meant to be a disservice to Wes Welker, who had a fantastic game Sunday night.
No.
And is having a fantastic
season.
They're
short, high percentage passes.
Right.
No, there's no doubt. So I still question what's going on with Maroney. But I don't think it's
I do wonder, Andy brought there was totally speculation, and Andy brought it up to the table yesterday about, is there a possibility, even a slight possibility, that it was discipline-related in the first half? And I'm not willing to say no way.
But they didn't run Falk either.
No, I know that. You know? But in the attack that they had, maybe they didn't want to run Falk.
Right.
Maybe if Maroney was available. It's odd to me that he didn't step on the field for a play and then ran the ball 10 times in the second half.
They did nothing to establish the threat of a run, which even in a passing
even if you're going to do that in Maroney's.
Right. Like I said, even in the Colts game, they had Falk back there really to protect Brady.
Right.
But they did the draw early.
And they faked the draw several times in the second half.
Faked it later. I keep missing fake and Falk. But they did it later. They faked it later.
I agree.
And they could because they had done it earlier. What the fuck? So it's interesting what's going on as far as the game plans in this team. It's fascinating because every week is different.
And in the locker room today, and I didn't hear what they were talking about, but Lawrence Maroney was talking for a long time with Michael Smith.
One-on-one?
Just the two of them. Probably for a good 10 minutes. And Michael Smith, of course, used to work for the Boston Globe.
Right.
He now works for ESPN. You see,
so we'll have to keep our eye on something.
Yeah,
there.
We'll see if there's any kind of a story coming out. I'm not sure what Michael was working on, if he was working on anything. But I get the impression that Maroney is a pretty emotional guy.
I do, too. I think he tries to hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if someone asked him when he was standing on the field Sunday night, why he wasn't playing in the first half, I think he would have told you.
Yeah.
And I think he would have been upset about
it. Yeah.
Because I think that emotion boils over on him. It doesn't make him a bad person,
no,
by the way. As a matter of fact, I think to the contrary, I think he's a pretty nice kid.
Yeah. But I think he's a little bit
sensitive.
A little sensitive, and he lacks confidence but tries to hide it by being overconfident.
It could be.
It
could be. And look, I don't want to dismiss Tom's theory here that he just can't play. Because it's been a year and a half now, over a year and a half, and the production hasn't been there.
No.
So I don't want to, I don't want to be guilty of making excuses.
No, he's an enigma wrapped in a riddle. So we're trying to figure
surrounded by a conundrum.
Right. We're trying to figure out Lawrence Maroney. I think he's got talent. I think he's going to come out of this, and I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to continue to score at least one touchdown per game for the rest of the season.
And I think your larger point is accurate too, Fred. I think this offense has been so productive. Does it really matter?
It doesn't matter.
You know? Does it really
and
matter?
And I think they would, if they choose to pass the ball, they find it more effective, and they want to get the ball back as soon as possible because the more times, you know, they just have that much confidence in their offense. But then that gets back to the whole thing with the defense, though. You know, of whether or not they were exposed. Is this anything new? Did we know all along that they had problems? If a team executes the way the Eagles execute, would any team in the NFL have trouble defending that? Or is it really the lack of speed in the middle for the Patriots' defense?
Well, I think that it's some of the latter, and it's coupled with – see, I thought the Patriots had pressure on the passer the other night. I just don't think they got there quick enough. In some of the other games, the quarterbacks haven't had – even a chance, you know, and they've been there so quick. So I think in a lot of ways, and Dean Pease talked about this, that's kind of masked the problem a little bit.
Right. So if you were, based on that game, if you were Dean Pease or Belichick, would you call out Will Fork, Warren, and Seymour and say, hey, look, you guys need to step it up?
Maybe.
You're supposed to be the anchor of this defense.
I don't know necessarily if it was because they didn't play that well or because – they didn't just break through unimpeded like they have so many other times. And instead of – because I don't think that Feely had a ton of time. I think he made a lot of those throws under duress.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I don't want to sit here and say it was like Brady in the Buffalo game where he was back there, you know, in a lounge chair looking for a guy to throw to.
Well, it's interesting. All right, they're 11-0, which is the good thing, and really the only thing that matters. Got Baltimore coming up. I mean, we all think that the blowouts are back.
Sounds like a cover.
Yeah.
Blowouts are back.
The blowouts are back.
Yeah, they'll love that.
There's just nothing about the Baltimore offense that scares me. They don't have a Brian Westbrook.
Yeah, the only thing that would scare me about this game would be what Bill talked about today, and that's what I wrote in the preview, is that their defense is still proud. They still have some players that have made big plays. And what they do when they make big plays, they're not content to knock the ball loose and jump on it. They're looking to scoop it up and return it for a touchdown. They're looking to lateral and make big plays. They score a lot of points. Now, they haven't been able to do it a lot this year, and probably that's a big reason why they're 4-7 and not 13-3 like they were last year. But this is a team that's used to winning games without much help from the offense, would you say, Fred?
Yeah.
They're used to winning without a whole lot.
That's right.
On the other side of the ball. So who's to say that, you know, the Patriots haven't had a problem with turnovers all year. Not one game did they have a real problem with turnovers.
Yep.
Who's to say all of a sudden you don't have this game is the one that Brady throws three picks and they fumble twice?
Yep.
Because you can lose to anybody when you do that.
Yep. Dave says, who knows what Bill's thinking? Maybe he thinks the upcoming teams are going to expect a big passing game and they have Maroney ready and rested, never mind the Brady bunch. And Maroney has been hurt this year. Maybe that is why it seems like they don't have a balanced attack. Well, you know, you do have to point to the games where Sammy Morris played, and you have to say, if nothing else, those games were balanced.
Yeah, I think their balance is what I talked about. It is, Tom. I think the balance of what they talked about is they've thrown the ball early in games and they've run it out late, and they've done that a lot. It's just they haven't done it with Maroney.
Yeah.
Because when Maroney was healthy and the guy, you know, early in the year, it was him and Morris splitting carries. They were getting 12 or 13 each. And then when Maroney got hurt, it was Morris getting 21 carries each game. And then when Morris got hurt, it was Maroney early for what little running they did. And then it was like you were thinking they were maybe saving him because he was coming off the injury, and it was Echol and Evans late. And now
it could be just a matter of circumstances, you know? Diana Bridgeport on this subject says, in response to why Maroney's not playing, Belichick has said several times in response to questions about why Maroney is not playing that points wins games and he wants to score points. Well,
so is that an indictment of Maroney? He can't score points?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That doesn't really answer the question.
Yeah. All right, webradio at patriots.com. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
Hang on a second.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Use my body to keep you alive.
And we're back. All right, back here in PFW in progress. Fred, Paul, and now
I got it,
Tom.
Freddie.
Tom is here. How you doing, Tom?
Okay.
You look like the dog just dragged you
I've
in.
Definitely seen Tom look better.
You're not looking
this
good.
Is, I actually was going to come in on time, but Allison said I look like death, so she took half day and
Look at the dedication that this guy...
I don't like being Andy Hart and coming in on Friday at 4 in the morning to write all my stories.
Right.
That's why he's gabbing all week. The guy doesn't do nothing.
All right. Well, you heard our little discussion about Maroney. We know your thoughts.
Yeah.
You've given up on
him. And in fairness to me, hold on one second. In fairness to me, I started off the whole thing by saying, you know, Tom and I had this disagreement yesterday, and I said that we'll have to agree to disagree when I started the whole thing. So I don't want you to make it sound like I was, like, ripping you.
Oh, no. I just don't know how – I'm a Maroney guy. You all know that.
And you know the funny thing is? I'm not.
Right. I'm just it's kind of like the Roy Williams thing for me. You know, I defended him. I thought he was going to be a, and when he's not, I run out of excuses for him. Now, right. I know I heard you say, Fred, it could be all the circumstantial.
Maybe it
is, but I just go back to the thing. If Bill had like an Adrian Peterson or someone like that, wouldn't he try to get him the football? I mean, the guy wasn't even on the field, Fred. Right. That's the question I have.
I know, but he didn't run Falk either.
But they're not using him. Don't you think if Bill believed that he had a weapon in the backfield?
I hear you.
And my other biggest problem is the guy.
But he might think he has better weapons in the receiving
game. Okay, but that's my other problem.
Okay.
They have the greatest passing attack in the history of football.
Right.
Don't you think this guy would spring a couple of draws for 34? His longest run is 19 yards.
Right.
That's my
problem.
He
has not been productive.
I mean, it's hard to argue with you, Tom.
It's indisputable. It's just, you can't argue with that. He hasn't been. It's been over a year and a half, and he's done very, very little.
It's unfortunate. I'm just hoping it is a circumstantial thing between game plan and injury.
Two of his best games were in his first four games as a pro. The Buffalo opener, and then the Cincinnati one was like the third or fourth game, right?
Right, right.
That was his only
his rookie
100-yard
game. Those were his two best games, in my opinion. Now, he had a 100-yard game this year, but it wasn't as good as those two games.
No.
And I'm wondering, you know, we're speculating what it is. I'm just speculating if the coaching staff is thinking, you know, this guy isn't for us. You know, he's not getting the job done.
Somebody emailed in. I don't have it in front of me, but they said that Patrick Pass just got released. Would there be any interest?
I don't think so.
I've fallen. I can't get up.
They got an extra spot on IR that they need to fill on.
What do you think about the transactions yesterday? Troy Brown being put on the active roster, Chad Brown being signed, Kareem Brown being released.
Yeah, it was a little. I wasn't sure what was going to happen with Troy Brown. I tried to read between the lines in the Belichick press conference, but obviously they still have a spot for him. With Colvin going on IR, that's going to be interesting, I think, because now Andy's going to get his wish and he's going to see Thomas on the outside pretty much all the time, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Because guys,
you bailed out of your bet.
Yes, that is true. 15 games.
What's that now? Oh,
it was 15
we had a stipulation.
Games. Yeah, both for Ginn and Colvin, it was 15 games.
Oh. So, I wasn't aware of that. Thanks.
So
I wouldn't have made
luckily,
you pay. I wouldn't have made you pay me.
Anyway. I'll pay you if I lose. I still got two left for Ginn if he can get them. But I just find it hard that the guy who got overpowered, according to and I'm quoting a referee now, is going to get a lot of run at outside linebacker. Now, do you think that this could?
No foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Do you think this could hurt the Patriots going forward with Bruschi and Seau kind of getting worn down?
It could, yeah. I mean, this is what we all feared when the season started.
We talked about it yesterday, and I think that for one of the few times we actually looked ahead and did so accurately because we all wondered, you know, if Colvin has to go on IR, what happens with that rotation? I think that was working very well
inside
with Bruschi, Thomas, and
Seau. That's the key, was the inside rotation.
Yeah, because you had Bruschi at 34 and Seau at 38. And, you know, I don't want to take anything away. I think they're both amazing athletes. But at some point, if they're playing every snap, which I think they're going to, I agree with Tom. I think Thomas is going outside. And those two guys are going to be taking every snap virtually. Mm. I think that's cause for concern as you head into December and January.
Unless they start playing the big nickel.
Yeah, you know, they could do that.
They could go to. I mean, we also talked about the four-man lines that they've been using the last couple of weeks. They didn't use it this week, but maybe they'll go 4-3, and that's how they can save the rotation that way. They just rotate Bruschi and Seau.
Well, it'll be interesting.
I wouldn't
see
be surprised if they did more 4-3. But we were talking about Colvin not having really a great year, and that's obvious. But the one thing he did do is he let them rotate it inside linebacker by being on the field. Now you take him out. Now are they going to sign Kareem Brown to the practice squad?
I would imagine they will, but. You know.
I got to be honest with you. These last two drafts. Ew.
Well, what does it say, though? I mean,
Moss and Welker, I guess you got to.
But they were 11-0. If they were 0-11, and these guys were all
cut. So you're looking short term.
Yeah.
Now we talked about all the guys that could be
gone
off the
team. But you also got to remember they used a fourth rounder to get Moss. They used a second rounder to get Welker. That's part of your draft.
But if
really,
they don't re-sign Moss, now don't you look at the draft? Then you say, well, now really all they got is Welker.
Long term.
They have to sign Moss.
Right.
They
what they
Moss,
did this year as far as draft will be judged next year and the year after.
Now my guess is there's this draft they really like because they got the two first-rounders, and you can't just keep trading picks your entire life. At some point, you got to start drafting guys. So my guess would be it's going to be this year.
Yeah. Unless they use it to get another free agent that they
like. Let me ask you guys
a
question, an interesting question I saw on, I forgot who it was, maybe it was Mayock. So they got all these draft picks, right? If you look at the Patriots team, not many weaknesses, but there seems to be one. Backup quarterback. If they got a guy in the second or third round, because Mayock's had all these guys that are projected to go in the first round, some of them are going to slip. He doesn't think that they're all going to go because not all these teams need quarterbacks. What if they're sitting there in the second round and they got a guy they really like? You think maybe they would draft a young quarterback if they have to come to the decision that, you know, hey, Matt Castle just hasn't become the guy we
thought he would?
I think they're getting there, yeah. And I'm not sure it will be that high because they might look at a second-round pick as being too high.
Yeah.
But I think, look, they've drafted quarterbacks almost every draft since Bill has been here. Now, they haven't done it like Tom is saying right now,
right,
specifically with an eye
not
toward
on the
first guy.
Day.
Yeah, and you're not drafting a guy in the seventh round with an eye to the future,
like,
that the guy could be the, he could be the guy. I think that you're looking at the possibility of a first-day pick. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, first day.
I think that you might have to get to that point where you're saying, all right, I'm going to bring a guy in, and he can be my backup for 2 years, and then if Brady's still here and we're still he's still in his prime and we still have no noticeable drop-off, then maybe I deal him.
Right.
And I try to do it again.
That's the thing. You'd have bargaining, but even if you're not going to use him at some point, if he's a good player, you'd have that bargaining power like they did with Matt Schaub, where you could trade him
right,
and get more draft picks.
And Bill always felt that way, and you know, like Ron Wolf in Green Bay, it's a commodity, it's a chip.
Yeah.
Unlike any other, if you can develop quarterbacks, people always need quarterbacks, and they're going to overpay for them.
Yep. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Thursday night, tomorrow night, Tom.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for the game?
I'm going to sit down in my chair and watch it.
Nothing special. You're not going to, you know, make any special food or,
no.
You know.
My brother-in-law calls yesterday and he's talking to Beth and says, "Yeah, you guys have that NFL Network, right? I'll be over tomorrow night."
Hey, he'll be leaving by halftime. That game will be close.
Really? Blow.
Nah, wow. It's just when the Packers go to Dallas, I always
0-8?
Get that old.
right?
That, yeah. But the Packers are a good team. I think obviously the health of Woodson is going to be a major factor
here.
Yeah,
that hurts.
Which doesn't look like he's going to be able to go.
I'm glad to see Tom's got his Cowboy swagger back. I was a little worried. These last couple of weeks, he's picking the other team to cover spreads and stuff. He's got the Cowboy swagger. It's a big game.
This is a problem, though, because usually when I get that, that's when they go down the tubes. But I think Green Bay has 10 guys on the injury report right now.
Yeah.
They're kind of beat up, so that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, see, I don't care who wins, though, and it's much more. Tom with swagger is much more interesting than Tom saying, "Yeah, Minnesota's going to cover, and Washington, they're going to cover." Even though you were right, even though they both covered.
I hate it when there's a big game and one of the teams are banged up, and so that's what it. You know, it's like
mean like when the Colts played the Patriots?
Exactly. I hate that talk. You know, it's like, oh well, you know.
What do you think about the Steelers, Fred? Are you worried about that game?
No.
You think they're going to roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
I'm just wondering what your thoughts were on.
Steelers can't play on the road. They're just not a good road team. You know,
that is strange.
Yeah.
They haven't played well on the road. You're right.
And there's always something to. Usually when you're not good on the road, you don't change. At the end, like, there's something to that, whether it's the way you prepare. Something happens where a team's not good on the road, and that usually lasts all season.
Now I think Roethlisberger he'll get his yards, and it's not going to be a blowout. But I think it'll get back to, like, kind of the wins that they've had in the past where, you know, it's never done, but you kind of have this feeling throughout that the Patriots are in control.
So not like this past game? The Philadelphia.
No, no,
like
no, no. That was – I was scared.
No, that game was in doubt right up until that pick
they
in
never,
the end zone.
They never – you always expected them to get control.
Right.
Like, when they scored, you'd expect them to stop them. But they never took that control that you expected.
Right down to the end when Philadelphia jumped offside on the fourth down on the punt, didn't you just expect
it
to go boop, 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 touchdown?
Yep.
And that's going to be the thing everybody's going to look back at the end of the game. Oh, what a crucial penalty. It turned out to be a meaningless penalty. They stopped in the next four plays.
Yep. But they did get down to the 33, which kind of helped a little bit.
Yeah, but then they turned it over on down, so that was like not punt. So they didn't punt. So they took over on the 36-yard line.
That's true.
All right. Just real quick, did Andy's high school win?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're playing Paul's High School.
Oh, so we finally got the matchup.
Everett versus Dartmouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul's saying he'll give him as many points
as he
wants.
I like Everett big.
Yeah.
You're a smart man, Tom.
Do they have a line for that in Vegas?
No.
I'm sure they do in Everett.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of money changing hands in Everett today.
Yeah, Everett's too strong. Andy's only got one guy there. They'll bottle
Evidently, he didn't have a big game last night either.
Oh, really?
And they won big, 40-7.
Who'd they beat?
Brockton.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not scared about that?
No.
Brockton's a good team.
No.
Not Everett, anymore?
Everett crushed Brockton last year in the Super Bowl.
Really?
35-6.
Okay. That's an impressive win, though. Dartmouth over Brockton?
Yeah, evidently, from talking to some of the Brockton correspondents in the locker room, read Glenn Farley, they were calling it embarrassing. They were calling out the coach, you know, the people in Brockton. This is not in the paper.
This is as close to Texas football as you'll ever come.
Right. No, Brockton is. You're absolutely right.
Right.
That's Brockton is Texas football for Massachusetts.
Right.
I mean, the people are maniacal.
Right.
They're saying it's an embarrassment for the coach and, you know, a performance like that in a playoff game.
And they missed their chance to play at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, Tom, the game's on TV. So
yeah, I know. I saw that.
That's it. That was the.
What is it?
Channel 38, I think, the Division I game.
Yeah.
WSBK.
Yeah. That's not like
CBS.
14.
It's that kind of CW.
UPN.
No, it's not whatever, the CW. It's
UPN, whatever
that
is.
Yeah, it's like 14.
Whatever that is now.
Gary should know, right?
I believe it is CW 38.
CW 38?
CW 38.
But it's channel 14.
Or is it
like
CW 56?
Here.
On your box,
yeah,
it's CW
56. On my, at my house, it's 14.
It's the one that Seinfeld's on.
Yes.
And you can go 838 in HD, although I'm pretty sure these games won't be in HD.
Well, you never know.
Everything they have has been in HDs.
Kraft Sports Productions putting it on. Could be.
They had a hard enough time doing the Patriots preseason games in HD.
All right, let's get to
I'm not calling anybody out. It happened. We saw the games, and I know the excuse was it's only preseason, even though those are the only games that they produce.
Maybe that's why they're willing to do this to practice for next year.
But I did tell
him. Seven cameras?
Seven cameras are going to be used. It's going to be a regular production. As I said to Fred, Beasley Reese doesn't get that many cameras for the game that he does.
Iron Eagle.
Right, Iron Eagle.
All right. You sure you're right, Tom?
I'm all right.
I'm a little concerned.
Your eyes are getting puffy.
I got to say stupid things to get him mad at me again. I'll get them all riled up.
I'm okay. I'll make it.
Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. Welcome back, Mr. Patriot. Hopefully he can help this anemic receiving core. Tom, did you put an injury clause on your Colvin bet?
Yeah, it was 15 games.
Evidently, we did.
Andy reminded me of it, so it must.
15 games played was the minimum.
Yeah,
so you're out. You've been.
I got
saved.
Out of
that's
that
a,
one.
That's a bailout.
Wow.
I got a hope.
He wasn't getting
you
six.
Sure,
sacks.
Someone didn't get to Colvin on your behalf.
He wasn't getting six sacks in the last five
Roosevelt,
games.
Maybe your foot hurts a little bit.
I
more
mean, how many more times was the quarterback going to fall down behind the line of scrimmage and have him touch him?
Interestingly,
he had at least three of those.
One of our emailers points out the Eagles again. That was when he hurt his hip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Hopefully, somebody can take out that skinny Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
Because he's not getting two more returns for touchdowns.
Chad Brown, come on. Andy, you had some linebacker experience. With our two-gap system, your head alone can plug one of those gaps.
The defender was just overpowered.
That's good.
That's true. We talk about Chad Brown. Great guy. Classy guy. Love to see him succeed, but we just haven't
just
seen it.
He's too old.
We just haven't seen
it. And here's
it.
The point where they haven't drafted any linebackers. You know, I don't want to get on them because, like you said, they're 11-0. But
Oscar Lewis still out there.
Yeah, great. I rode the elevator with him. He's
what? He didn't tackle you hard enough? Or?
Nah, he's smaller than I am.
Really?
Hey, Oscar Lewis, what up, dog?
What up, dog?
I just come on. I think that's something we do in the off season. Where we like to talk about guys like Oscar Lua, he's not going to make an impact. We talk about guys like Eric Alexander.
We just want to have a guy who's really good whose first name is Oscar. That would be good, you know? Oscar!
I'd just like to have some little more depth at linebacker.
I'd just like to see some youth. I agree with Tom. Some youth and athleticism at linebacker. Yeah. I think that the linebackers they have have always been the lifeblood of the defense, but I just would like to see an influx of athleticism, like what they did with Adalys Thomas this year.
On the phone right now is Anthony in Naples.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Tony.
Anthony.
Yeah, it's Anthony, not Tony. I haven't been called that since I was five.
Really? Okay.
All right. Usually works the other way.
Yeah.
Really?
Usually you're Anthony until you're old enough to say, hey, it's Tony.
Oh, really? Just Tony just kind of made it sound like, you know, through the years, you know, just feel like a little kid or something, so that's why. Really, only my mom and dad call me Tony, to be honest with you.
Okay.
No biggie. Listen, it seems like I actually caught you guys in the middle of what's that?
That was Tony Soprano talking.
Oh, no. But listen, it seems like I got you in the middle of already talking about the Chad Brown signing. Do you think he's going to play inside or outside?
Oh, he'd have to play outside, don't you think?
He'll play. I think he'll play anything. But as I said, and I agree with Tom, if he's playing significant snaps,
right,
it's not a good thing.
If he's playing inside, I think they'll probably throw in the season because he couldn't do that. It was 2-3 years ago. So
no, the only thing I can think is that they want to see if he can somehow give them the ability to play outside so they can occasionally have Thomas play in that rotation with, say, Alwin Brewski.
Yeah.
It seemed like that was more of his specialty, you know, when he was in Seattle and in Pittsburgh, and he just seemed out of sync, you know, when he was in the middle. He just wasn't used to it.
You're right.
Maybe like, if you see the field in a certain way, like, through 10-some-odd years, maybe you just can't change, you know? Maybe you can't be that junior Seau, you know? Yeah.
I did talk to him today, Anthony, and he said that, you know, he is very confident. He has played all four of those spots, and he's very confident that he has the ability to play any of them. And whatever Bill needs him to do, he'll do. He even said he would punt if Bill wanted him to do that.
Yeah. So, the only thing you can hope for is that, you know, maybe his legs are fresh, you know, because he hasn't really been playing.
Well, that's certainly true.
Yeah. They got a lot of fresh people.
He hasn't played since the third game.
Brown and Maroney. Yeah.
The third game, I think, well, he was inactive against Buffalo, and they released him after that game. So
yeah.
He said he's just been working out, folding laundry, taking the kids to school, and doing all the other civilian life, as he put it.
My goodness. I was going to call you guys yesterday, and, you know, I just got too busy, and it seemed like you guys touched base on it because I listened to the podcast. I honestly don't know how to feel anymore about Lawrence Maroney. I don't know what to feel. Like, you know, is it a bust? And, you know, I honestly feel that point. Like, maybe he's not getting it. I don't know.
It's looking that way. I'll tell you this, you know, as we started off when Tom got here today, you know, we argued about it. It's indisputable. Whatever you think of Maroney doesn't matter. It's indisputable that he has not been productive.
Right.
He has not done the job. He's not on the field. He doesn't play a lot. He doesn't produce a lot when he does play. That's indisputable. Those are facts.
Right. They don't feel like they need to get him the ball.
Absolutely.
Like they played a whole half of a close game, and he's on the sideline.
Yeah, and it's just like you guys made the point yesterday, and I totally agree. Like, you know, you have this journeyman in Sammy Morris, you know, who's getting a bulk of the carries in the beginning of the year, and, you know, you supposedly have this first-round stud, and he's on the sideline. I just don't get it. It really, really ticks me off. And, you know, I'd hate to waste a first-round pick on a running back again this year.
And as Andy has said in the past, if they're doing something to, like, try to break him down, and I don't know if he's mentally strong enough to handle that.
We talked about that, too, before you got here, Tom, but we think that he might be a little sensitive.
Yes.
He's emotional, and it doesn't make him a bad kid, because I think, as I said, to the contrary, I think he's a good kid.
But not everybody can handle the way Belichick and Parcells kind of break you down, tear you down, and
build you back up.
Yeah, I think you can see it with him that he kind of wears those emotions on his sleeve, and I think he's a little sensitive. Yeah. And I think that these things bother him. When people say these things to him, you know, why didn't you play in the first half, or are you disappointed that you haven't been in the end zone? I think that he doesn't really handle. I think he takes it to heart, and he doesn't handle it well. And as Fred pointed out, it's like he puts this air of confidence out front, but it's really a facade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, the quote that he gave me about you can't keep a star from shining.
Right.
Well, there's been no evidence through a season in three quarters that he's a star.
Right.
And unfortunately, I guess Kevin Falk is there, but you wonder who's mentoring him, who's really kind of.
Because I don't think Dylan was a mentor.
No.
I mean, let's be honest.
Kevin is decent at that, but I agree with Tom. I mean, I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
But Falk.
All right, hey guys, I'm gonna let you guys.
Okay, Anthony.
But hey, listen, I just Fred, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you the one responsible for the internet webpage?
What webpage? Do you mean the website?
The Patriots, yeah, website.
Sure.
All right, listen, the thing that's killing it, there's no direct link to the podcast in you guys. You literally have to go through three screens before you can get to the podcast, and it's annoying.
If you go to on the front page. If you click on audio or podcasts, and you have the screen, and you choose, you know, PFW or Patriots Today or any, or, you know, PFW in progress, there's a little button right on the screen there. I think it's a down arrow. That down arrow is to download the podcast.
Fred, I love you, but just answered my question.
Yeah, so we have a manual, Anthony, so we'll send that to you. It's about 60 pages.
It's right there.
All I'm saying is that you got to get, okay, you go, let's say you go to patriots.com. All right? Then you got to go to another screen.
No, it's all on the homepage.
I know, but there should be, like, you know, like a link right there, bang, podcast, and it'll have a list. You
they're
know
very
what I mean?
Big on drop-downs.
He's saying yeah. you're not advertising it enough. It should be right there, like PFW in Progress Podcast. Boom.
Alt.nerd.obsessive. Exactly, I know about you guys, but to be honest with you, if I had no idea about the podcast and PF, you know, I wouldn't probably find it.
I got you. Spread the word for us. All right.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Can you play that one again? I like that one.
What?
Tone, you know his internet? Man genius.
It's a judge coach, sweetie. I should go say hello.
A judge coach, sweetie.
He sounds like
he's got manicotti in his mouth.
I should judge coach, sweetie. He's got I should go say hello.
All right. Justin in Alaska coach, says dingleberries. Say he's calling us dingleberries. I know it's a little early, but let's assume that Maroney finishes the year the way he started it. Like Paul, filled with doubt, impetuous decisions, and a little misfortune. Do we take our number 5 draft pick and get McFadden? Of course it's possible that Maroney could wake up and be a first-round back. Anything is possible, right? I mean, the 4 of you found women that agreed voluntarily, except Andy's, to marry you.
Yes, that is true. The one thing I'll say about McFadden, and this was something I noticed last year, and I've been watching him a little closer now because the Patriots are obviously going to be in that top 5 area. He doesn't run like Adrian Peterson or like Eric Dickerson. Those guys ran hard. They ran through you. They ran over you. They ran around you. McFadden's kind of more of a receiver. He runs like a I don't want to say he's not tough, but he doesn't run quite like Adrian Peterson. Because you're going to hear a lot of comparisons to Peterson when draft time comes around. I don't see really any comparisons except the height and the weight. McFadden runs a little bit different. He often looks like a receiver. He runs way more upright. You know how they always say, well, he runs upright? I thought Peterson, he actually gets down. He puts his shoulder down. So I don't think he's the lock stud that at number 5, personally. I think he's a good player. I think he's a great college running back, and I wouldn't cry at all if the Patriots drafted him. But I have to wonder if they love him enough to take him that high.
And a lot of people do make that comparison, Tom. You're right about Adrian Peterson. Matter of fact, I heard a lot of people saying he's very similar in his style but a little bit bigger. And then I looked up the sizes, and the sizes are almost identical.
Yeah.
What's the name of the Chicago Bears running back, by the way?
Cedric Benson?
No, there's another guy.
Adrian Peterson.
Oh, there's a guy, Adrian Peterson.
They have one, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not quite as good.
No. He's the kid from Georgia Southern.
Okay.
One double.
He had one of the best runs in the history of college football.
Hey, my boys are getting 11.5 tonight at URI.
Oh, are they?
Let's see.
I don't like it.
Justin also says, Rosie's out. Not that he was lighting it up this year, but now we lose a potential playmaker. However, last time Rosie was on IR, we won the Super Bowl. So way to sacrifice your leg and or foot and or arm, Rosie. So I think it is a foot, right?
Yeah, foot injury.
Well, it doesn't matter. He's on IR. He's gone.
But shouldn't there be a rule if he's going to be lost for the season, can't we know why? You know what I mean?
It didn't say foot injury in the thing? I thought it did.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. They finally, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Andrew in Orange City, Florida says, I've taken some Ritalin this morning, so rather than throwing a 12-question quiz at you, I've got one concern I'd like to hear your thoughts on. As we approach postseason, the health of the team becomes increasingly important. What player or position do you think is most at risk for injury? I worry about Welker. Going over the middle as he does in returning kicks, he seems to get hit a lot. Seeing how indispensable he was against the Eagles and guessing that the only satisfaction the Ravens might get on Monday night is laying big hits, how concerned should I be?
I'm not concerned.
I just don't think that you can operate like that. You can't be concerned that someone's going to get hurt specifically. Yeah. I mean, you worry about injuries, but I don't think you can sit there and say, well, geez, Welker takes a lot of hits. I'm afraid he's going to get hurt. I mean, he might. There's nothing to...
I think he's so slippery. He's one of those guys where...
It's tough to get a good hit.
I don't think he takes a lot of big hits. I don't.
He's always like diving to the ground. Right. And I don't think he gets hit really hard.
And he's so small. He's got that low center of gravity. Yeah. You know what's strange about that, though, is Kevin Falk is similarly small, and he takes a lot of big hits.
Yeah.
He's gotten lit up a lot of times over his career.
Mike from Columbus, Ohio. One, yesterday we'll have to go down in Patriots history as the what can Brown do for you day. Colvin, who owns a UPS franchise, goes on IR, and then 3 players all named Brown are involved in other roster transactions. Amazing.
Leave it to Bill to cut Kareem Brown the day before he has the only day he has any use to anybody talking about Sean Taylor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone was thinking, oh, you know, who can we talk to about Sean Taylor, Kareem Brown, and then Bill cuts him. Well,
Merriweather is the guy you know, we got to talk to because he used that whole story this year about him being
a
mentor.
Was he in the locker room today?
Very briefly, and then as we were coming, he was actually joking with someone, and then he walked out toward the end, you know, the far end as we were coming in. I have a feeling that he may have known that people were going to be looking for him, and he got out of there.
Mike also says, too, Christina Acra must have about 50 to 60 appearances on Patriots Today without ever wearing the same outfit twice. Paul Perillo must have 10 appearances on Patriots Today, all in the same outfit. I figure Paul's either contractually obligated to wear his Ralph Lauren shirt, or this is his unbiased journalist look. I say get Flanders to outfit him in some pro shop items. 5 points with Perillo would be perfect if delivered while wearing a Belichick hoodie. Yeah.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
Paul, did you get a second job? I went into the pro shop yesterday. You ain't buying no Belichick hoodie unless you got a second job.
That's true.
Well, you get 30% off.
Especially when I don't get paid for those appearances on Patriots Today.
Those things are expensive.
They're like $70.
Yeah.
Right?
I will say that I'm doubting that Christina Acra has to shoot a lot of things in different days in the same day, whereas I do that. The two appearances that I make a week are done, shot in the same day.
Well, she's just not good as you. You know.
Well, I certainly don't. I don't deserve the wardrobe anyway.
No, she changes it up a lot. And three, will we see?
She's hot too.
Will we be seeing Pierre Woods in the rotation at outside linebacker this week?
You want me to quote Pierre Woods?
Yeah.
Talk to Bill. Talk to Bill. He told me not to say nothing. Talk to Bill.
There you go. Okay, Pierre Wood.
Probably should have left out that he told me not to say
it. Right.
Probably, because
right.
everybody's going to be writing it tomorrow.
And don't tell anybody I told you this.
Yeah.
So we forgot that part.
Idiot.
Trent in Albany, New York. Boy, you have to hand it to the Pats. This year's draft sure has panned out. Heck, our number one pick plays special teams. Must be a special player. Our next pick released. Oh, well. And the rest of the picks, you probably have to go to TGI Fridays or Applebee's to find them, because that's probably where most of them are working now. Don't tell me that this year's draft was weak. I see plenty of other picks on other teams making plays, or at least contributing, or at the very least they are on the roster. There are good players every year in every draft. It's not like the Pats don't need some depth at several positions. I think I would rather have Justin Rogers right now than Chad Brown. Oh, they let him go too. Other than Wes Welker, who came by trade, this draft is a joke. I will not now wait for the obligatory sarcastic comment from Andy and Tom's glowing analysis if he hasn't already interrupted this email. By the way, you guys are great.
I thought the draft stunk. Why would I be killing you for that? It's true. You look at players that we thought had a chance to play here, they all seem to be contributing for different teams. And I mean, even if you look
would those players be contributing for this
team?
Well,
I was just going to say, let's take the guy he mentioned, Justin Rogers. Now, is he having a huge impact in Dallas? No, but he's been on the roster all year. He's one of their leading special teams tacklers. He provides some depth now at the linebacker position. Maybe he's learning. You know what I mean? It's not like he's not doing anything. He
at
plays
this stage
of
the year,
teams.
Maybe he would be prepared to offer a little backup.
And I believe
that's
a guy they wanted to re-sign, right?
I think they liked him.
Yeah, I
do. I mean, I'm with Tom on this one, too. I don't. Look, it's not about how many guys are in the draft that are on rosters, because the worst teams are going to have more guys from the current draft on a roster. There wasn't a lot of opportunity for the Patriots to draft guys and have them be on the roster and play. I mean, they're stacked. But that doesn't mean that a guy like Justin Rogers or, you know, someone – give me other examples. You know, it doesn't mean that there was no room for anybody. And I think that the draft this year can be summed up with the two trades for the two wide receivers,
and the only
Welker
thing,
and Moss.
The only thing I would really nitpick is when they did draft guys, they were usually offensive linemen who had no chance to make, you know, you're drafted at one of the places where you're the deepest. And you think if you were going to take a flyer on some guys, it would have been, you know, I don't know, defensive. I don't know. It just seemed like
hybrid linebackers, I think.
To draft,
Justin Rogers.
To draft three offensive linemen when at best one of them would be roaming around if they had a phenomenal camp in preseason, to me, just didn't make much sense.
Yeah, that's why I loved that Rogers pick right from the start, and I kept saying, I really don't have any explanation for it. I just like his resume.
Mm-hmm.
I think those kinds of guys on the second day, that they don't really fit a mold, and that's why they're second-day picks. There's no spot for them.
And that one was a little perplexing because he had a good preseason. Yeah. He seemed to have good practices when we were there. It was a guy that seemed like was picking things up pretty quickly and that maybe Bill could have molded into being a contributor, and I was surprised when they let him go.
And we thought that special teams-wise in the preseason, he showed some athleticism and the ability to do it, so I'm not surprised that he's doing it in Dallas.
And you know who has his roster spot, who got his roster spot originally, was Chad Brown, who was then released and now picked up, so we'll have to see how it works out.
Neil writes in, I was fortunate enough to attend last Sunday's game. I live in North Carolina, don't get to see the Pats live very often, so it was a rare treat. We had great seats on the visitor sideline near the field. I thought the crowd attempted to respond when things were tight and get loud, but it was not consistent. You talk about how loud the dome was for the Colts game, and with three straight home games coming up after this week, I think the fans that are sitting there need to become active and even stand. Sorry, Paul. I know the stadium doesn't carry sound very well, as it seems like it blows out through the open air, but it's no excuse. The crowd needs to be more engaged in the game no matter what the score is and spend less time drinking in the parking lot beforehand. I think back to the Boston Garden and the atmosphere that was created during the mid to late 80s, this team has provided consistent greatness for 7 years, and the fans need to respond. Hear, hear.
Yeah,
we've been saying that for 20 years now?
Yeah, it's a quiet, quiet crowd.
Yep. Let's see. Talking about the running game, Mike from Florida says, who needs a running game? Do you think Miami will take McFadden, and if they do, will they keep Brown? Meanwhile, I am convinced in the next few games, Maroney will begin to impress and you guys will lay off him a little bit. But I do agree, if he gets hurt again, we need to start looking for a good back.
Well, that's kind of obvious, don't you think?
If Miami takes McFadden, will they be stupid enough to let him go? Do you guys know anything about his contract for a trade to New England? Do they dare get burnt again like Welker or Morris? Brown would be a great fix, not that we need a running game with this offense. I don't think they're going to do anything with Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown isn't going anywhere.
No.
Nowhere. So. And they probably won't draft McFadden because they have needs at pretty much every other position other than running back. And you can forget about the Marion Barber stuff, too. Even if Dallas and New England make a trade on draft day, Barber is off the table. They love him. So even if they bring McFadden in, they're going to still keep Barber. So that's not going to happen, either one of those. Ronnie Brown is not going anywhere.
Let's see. Karthik says, I sense that the quality of some of the past shows are really going down. I think the reason for this is Tom, for some reason, after his viral fever or whatever he had a few weeks back after that flu shot, is maintaining a low profile for some time. Andy is keeping the show alive with his quirky comments, but I am too tired of hearing Fred and Paul arguing. Paul, one piece of advice. Fred mostly makes stupid comments, and you will never succeed in making him accept it, so please stop overdoing it. Good to see Tom finally getting out of the Maroney bandwagon. I wrote an email a few shows back, which was not read, and I would like to reiterate the same point here. Patriots made bad... Okay, that's it.
Wow.
Gary is not having any of that.
He's taking shots at me, Gary, not you.
Actually, he was taking shots at me.
Sticking up for everybody.
Let's see. A South Carolina Pat fan says, is there really that much negative junk coming from the press, or is it just me being a fan and reacting? Same thing for the calls. Are the refs just missing calls, or are they really calling against the Pats?
I think they're calling against the Pats.
I do, too. I've come around.
Yeah.
I think the whole league's fixed. Last year they wanted the Colts to win because they wanted Manning to have his ring, and now they're back to the Patriots. So we'll see. I'm hoping that they really like the Cowboys next year.
And Tom, just to further illustrate your point, I thought that they used to only call them against the Pats when the games that the Patriots lost. But now that they don't lose any games,
right.
I think it's only the games that are close that they decide to call it against the Pats.
Just so, it looks good.
Right.
Speaking of not looking good, Andy Hart.
Andy's here with his quirky comments. According to Karthik, you're the only person keeping this show alive.
With your quirky comments.
I'm pretty sure Karthik is the guy who got mad one day when I made fun of his name with a quirky comment.
Well, good bet.
He got blowed up anyway.
I said he shouldn't ride in cars if he gets Karthik.
How was your 2-hour conference just to get your wife on dental insurance?
It's well beyond that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it's good, but there's all these new. I'm going to have to talk to Fred.
Boring.
Later.
Don't talk to me.
Don't talk to Fred.
Well, the flexible spending is good when
but
you
I
know.
But I need it now.
Yeah,
I got
you know
a kid
you're
who has
have
like prescriptions
medical
and
medical expenses.
But they fixed it. I guess it used to be a nightmare.
Really?
It used to be absolutely terrible. You had to have receipts for everything, send them everything. Now it's all automated. They hired some third-party company. Look at these terms I'm throwing around. Third-party vendor is handling it now, ADP.
I just want dental insurance.
Don't have dental insurance?
Yeah, I have to add my wife.
Right.
Oh.
But they also have a...
It's not working?
What's the new one?
Yes.
Oh, there's a new health plan that saves you $75 a month.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that I'm going to get.
How does that work?
Because it's basically you roll the dice a little bit. The difference is...
The deductible on
hospital stuff.
Oh.
But if you don't go... And it rolls over. If you don't use your deductible, $125 a year rolls over, plus the crafts pay half. Really not much of a gamble. Andy will be taking that option, saving me $75 a month.
Yeah.
Of course, that'll probably go towards
all
these other
stuff. I'll just get my information from you. I don't need to go to a conference.
Yeah, it's... Plus, I just made... I don't want to make fun of anybody. I've never even seen the guy who's apparently a VP of something around here who was handling the meeting. But... A certain member asked a question about something, and he talked for 5 minutes, never answered the guy's question. It was a Bill Belichick-like answer.
So a little bit of the inner workings here at Gillette Stadium.
I'm sure the fans really enjoy that.
There's a lot going on.
Keith says, have the Pats lost their drafting touch? I know it's not an exact science, but they seem to be falling asleep and missing out on selecting players that are available that could help this team. 2007, they could have drafted David Harris, who was playing well in just his first year and would have fit perfect with the Patriots instead of Brandon Merriweather riding the pine all season. 06, Maroney seems to be a bust, if nothing less, unworthy of a first-round selection. Heck, they can't even draft a reliable field goal kicker in Steven Guskowski. Wes Welker can even make 32-yarders. We also have had Robbie Gould, who's now a Pro Bowler. Now the Pats draft day... Trades and free agent signings have been historical and make up for some of their farts, but with this year's first round pick in the top five or so, they need to wake up and stop passing gas. Wow.
People you ever heard it's happy. An inexact science?
And we're the negative ones.
I mean, they've People had some good picks, happy. Bad picks, all teams do. There's no one that goes 100%. There's no one that
goes... Vince Bill Wolfork saying? Did he talk today?
Yeah, well, it was last night, I think, on NFL Live.
Oh, okay.
He did not talk in the locker room today.
Yeah, it's, hey... No one's going to – the guys that they picked this year are garbage. Let's be – I mean, not talking about Merriweather. I'm talking about those second-day guys. And we all knew it.
Right. They knew it.
We sat there. We were going through draft guides. We couldn't find these guys' names. The only reason we knew Clint Oldenburg was because his cousin emailed in or his brother emailed in.
Yeah.
I don't think they took the draft all that seriously this year. And as I said, you're gonna in 5 years you'll say that's the draft that they got Welker
and
Moss.
I think they let Edie make the picks this year.
That's what people are gonna look back at this draft. They're gonna say that's the Moss Welker draft.
Mm-hmm. But you throw David Harris out there. I don't think they were even considering him with the first pick.
But they could have gotten him with the second first round pick instead of making the trade.
Well, I'll take the top five pick. Isn't that what they end up with?
Right.
Yeah, but I don't
I don't know
it
how
all
you
depends
can
on what you want.
That.
What if Harris goes to the Pro Bowl for 10 straight years?
I'm guessing Bill should select a Pro Bowler in the top five. That's the way I look at that.
I'm guessing he trades out.
They definitely use this draft in the picks to do other things besides just drafting guys.
Yes.
They weren't interested.
You know? So.
But the key is this year's draft. See,
right. You
can criticize this past draft. But if they make up for it this year, and this was the year they really targeted guys, then you say, oh, okay, I see what they were doing. They got Welker and Moss. They didn't really like the draft. But if they start trading out, like just keep trading down and out and don't pick up any linebackers, then I think we need to be a little bit more critical of what are they doing.
Well, I also think they got lucky. I mean, there was no guarantee that San Francisco pick was
going
to be a
good pick.
That
San Francisco pick could have just as easily been 22.
Right. Criticizing it now, it's a good pick.
I mean, they were an up-and-coming team that got off to a good start and then got absolutely decimated with injuries, right?
Yep.
They finished the season last year on an upswing. People thought that Alex Smith was ready to go up to the next level. They didn't.
Although I got to give Patriots fans credit. As soon as they made the trade, they were thinking it was a top 10 pick. They were right. I mean, we made fun of them, but they were right.
Even though they didn't pick in the top 10 last year, they thought it was going to be a top 10 pick this year.
They were right, Paul. Yeah. Bottom line is they were right.
Absolutely.
I can admit it.
Absolutely.
I always admit when I'm wrong.
They were right. I was wrong.
Matt says, I think that it's the time of the year where, in the holiday spirit, we can start discussing which coaches are going to be unemployed. First, let me preface this by saying that while I believe the AFC East may be the worst division in football for various reasons, I don't think there will be any coaching changes in the division this year. That being said, I think there may be close to a third of the league that makes a change for next season. Here are the coaches I think are on the block with my opinion, and I would like an opinion from you guys as well. Gone, he says. Brian Billick. Peter King says no, I say yes.
I think he's gone.
Yeah.
He may not, though. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that owner is that aggressive.
I was going to say, it seems like he's got a relationship with, what is it, Biscotti?
Or... Yeah. Marvin Lewis, finally shanked by the inmates he protected for so long.
I think he's gone, too.
Herm Edwards, no more miracle playoff appearances, Casale. He's gone.
He stays. Should be.
I don't think he's gone. Great relationship with Carl Peterson.
Tom Coughlin, goes without saying, no matter what happens.
He's out.
I don't know. Well, if Tom's thing and Eric's thing ends up happening, he's out.
The GM should be out.
We hit that one on the head.
Absolutely.
The
guy never stops talking,
If they fall apart the way a lot of people think, he's gone.
Joe Gibbs, the league just wasn't the same this time around.
I think he's gone.
Yeah.
Brad Childress, the Peter principle defined perfectly.
Yep. He stays, I think.
You think he stays?
They're fighting for a playoff spot. They end up like 8-8.
I bet he stays.
John Fox, I actually like him, and he will get another job.
Yeah, he's probably, I don't know. It's hard to, it depends on what they think there, if they want to just start over.
I think he's gone.
If you fire Fox, you better hire someone who's better than him, maybe like a Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher. And I think the emailer's right. John Fox will have a job before that week's up.
Yeah. He'll fill one of these other jobs. Because I think he can coach. I think that's a situation that's beyond his control right
Bobby
now.
Bobby Petrino, what the hell did I get myself into?
I don't think he gets fired.
The only way I think he leaves is if he goes back to college on his own.
On his own accord, yeah.
That's, I mean, they'd be on the hook for
a lot of money.
The other thing, too, is you got to – listen, I don't really like the guy, and I don't like his philosophy in the NFL so far, but you got to kind of give him a pass for a year, don't you?
Didn't everybody say when the Michael Vick thing, that team be lucky to win three games? Now all of a sudden they're going to win three games and he's going to get fired?
Right.
I don't think so.
No.
Scott Linehan, when he gets fired, will anyone even notice?
I think he's going to get fired.
Okay, these are guys.
No, because I think you could probably say to 80% of NFL
fans, Rams coach?
Who's the Rams coach? And they'd go, is it the guy that, I don't know.
These are guys he thinks are coming back. I'll read them quickly and see if you disagree, and if you think any of these guys won't be coming back. Dick Geron.
I think he'll be back.
Mangini.
Yes.
Back.
I think he'll be back.
Cam Cameron.
Yes. Back.
Kubiak.
Yes.
Oh. North Turner.
No.
No.
You don't think he's coming back?
No.
Nope.
Andy Reid.
Back.
Yes. Personal. It's his own personal decision. Yeah. He decides that.
And finally, Mike Nolan.
That's a tough one.
That is. I don't have a read on that one.
Because she's talking about hiring a GM, a new position, and that person might want to clean house.
Right.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm not.
If Miami goes 0-16, I'm not sure Cameron comes back.
Yeah,
he shouldn't.
True.
He's a bad coach. But
Eric the not-so-great is here.
Eric the leg is back from practice. Is it cold out?
Fred, did you know you can say homo on Real Radio?
You got to put your mic on.
Can I say that here?
Homo sapien?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Apparently, no, I can't say that here.
What? What Gary is saying, go, move over to the other mic.
All right.
Okay.
Wow. Stepping up to the big mic. That one's all worn out from Paul talking all these years.
You should talk.
What's up, Eric?
I do talk. No Kevin Falk at practice today.
Oh.
He was the only absentee, so that's the...
Could be a team decision.
Well, we did see him get helped off the field the other day, or he helped himself off the field and then was sort of riding the exercise bike.
He helped himself off the field. Has it really helped? Don't they all help themselves off the field?
He kind of struggled off the field.
Yeah, he limped off the field, went onto the little exercise bike, and was there for the rest of the game.
I saw that, actually.
So I wasn't totally surprised that he wasn't there. He wasn't in the locker room period today either. Also not much of a surprise.
Gets his bell rung the week before. We think he's got a potential major concussion. He's fine. This week he's a little nicked up. He doesn't practice.
Yeah, that was the only significant.
Chad Brown was out there looking good.
Chad Brown was out. Well,
remember the last time we saw Chad Brown? Ed Hockley, there is no flag on the play. He was overpowered.
Happy birthday.
Chad Brown.
Yep, Chad Brown, Troy Brown.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
That will make, 20 years from now, that'll be in Andy Hart's memory is like the time spent here, because that's phenomenal.
Yep.
Poor guy.
He was out there. Troy Brown was out there. Black shirts, only two.
Ray Ventrone.
No.
Rashad Baker.
No.
He plays now. Well, I don't know how he get it one.
Any guesses, Tom?
Lawrence Maroney.
Larry Isner.
No.
Tom Brady.
No, that should have been what Bill should have done that after.
I thought maybe they had Maroney on the scout team.
No,
Kelly Washington.
Bam Childress. and a fan favorite in this room, Billy Yates.
Oh, nice. He's getting the job done.
Offensive lineman, Billy
Yates. No wonder the defensive line struggled last
week. Yeah.
They're doing this thing more frequently now where they half the team wears full pads, the other half wears uppers. Hmm. Not sure exactly why that is. Maybe we'll bring that
probably
up with Bill.
Something to do
on
with
Friday.
Tweaking the league and the
sure
injury
he'll tell
report.
You.
I'm sure. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's.
Meanwhile, why don't you ask him about his contract and if he's coming back next year and what he thinks about an undefeated season?
Have you guys? Not that this is really all that significant, but did you guys talk at all about the Kareem Brown transaction?
Just figured he'd be on the practice squad.
That's what I had figured too. I had some sources tell me recently within the
you
hour.
You have sources?
Was that Chris Ferreira?
No, he has people. Oh. I have sources.
Okay.
We might see Kareem Brown this Monday night. Not on the Patriots
side. The Ravens
line.
Claimed him?
Really?
That's a that's what I'm hearing from certain sources.
Well, he definitely has to, he has to go.
No, it's not.
He really? Has to go through waivers before the Patriots can put him on the practice
right.
squad.
Mm-hmm.
I said to these guys
but
earlier, Andy.
If the Ravens take him, they can't put him on their practice squad. They have to put
yes,
him on the
on their
23.
Active. Right.
Right.
I said to these, leave it to Bill to
that's
cut.
Not true.
Yeah, it is.
They'd have they'd have to put him if they claim him.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But
right.
they could also sign him to their practice squad once he clears waivers. They can just make a deal with him.
I thought that was the rule that
no. if they claim
if
him.
They claim him, it's to the active roster.
Right.
If he clears waivers, they could talk to his agent and say, "We'll give you a real contract."
Oh, after he clears waivers,
right.
I got you.
He can work any
right.
deal he wants.
Right.
He doesn't have to go
he's
to this.
He's a free
practice.
Agent once he clears
right.
waivers.
We figured he would clear waivers and then sign with our practice squad.
Right.
But now it's looking like perhaps that won't happen.
And I said to these guys, "Leave it to Bill to cut Kareem Brown." The only day people need to talk to him
right.
about the Sean Taylor.
Right.
You know, yeah. the guy was useless all year. He was in the locker room sitting by himself, and we yep. finally needed him, and Bill cut him.
But that'd be interesting. That'd be a Patriot maneuver to pick him up.
Yeah, that's would. Not. Certainly I hope would. The Ravens like him and right. aren't just doing it for this, because if they do,
yeah.
the score is going to get worse by the quarter, because Bill's not going to like
but
that.
But how would Bill know? Might get worse by the quarter just anyway.
That's true.
Because he wouldn't know till later if they release him after the game or,
yeah.
or whatever.
Anything else?
So that's what's going on. Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, I was actually surprised that there were more guys out there than not. Because, you know, there were a lot of guys who limped off the field the other day.
Kyle Brady.
Randall Gay, who, you know, had that back problem during the game. We saw him on Monday, actually, in the locker room period. You guys went around. But he was walking very slow. You know, doing the putting one hand on the back kind of thing, and he talked to reporters though, and he was like, "You know what? I don't plan on missing any time." And there he was out there today, so
right.
that's a good sign. He was in full pads running around.
So that was
did anyone listen to Brady today? Was anyone at Brady?
I wasn't in that.
No, we don't. Oh,
well, it's hard
know
to
what
get
he had
there.
To say.
He goes 30 deep at his locker.
And
that's
today,
actually the best
more,
time to
yeah.
talk to other people.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's when I was
that's
getting
what we
Larry
were doing.
Izzo. Yeah, before he took his wipes and went to the bathroom.
He had
phenomenal.
He uses wipes. He's an original wipe guy for years
oh,
since
really?
He's been here.
I gotta say this. I have to say it. Anybody out there who's using toilet paper is just being bamboozled by the toilet paper
yep.
industry. Andy Hart, he put me on to these.
What about
certainly if you have a digestive problem?
These Cottonelle wipes.
What about the environment? Though?
They've changed. They? You can flush them.
They're flushable.
Yeah, they've changed my.
Some of them are.
They've changed my life. I'm a better human being.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but
that's true.
I am. I'm a
you
nicer
feel better.
Man.
You might feel better. I don't know if you're a better human
I'm nicer
being.
To people. I'm saying hi to people.
Who
I'm
are you
giving
saying
bums,
hi to?
I'm giving bums money. I mean, it's changed my entire life.
You passed a bum from your house to the stadium?
I have a question for you, Fred. I know you're big, like I am, into the national anthems at games.
Yeah.
What did you think of this past one?
You know, Jerry? It was a guitar solo. It wasn't bad as they go, you know.
Really? You didn't like it?
Well,
because I know you've been, I know you're.
It was okay. He didn't stretch it out, which is I like. I don't like it when they stretch it out. I think that's not the song when you.
He's
that.
Eric's buddy.
I thought it was a
that's
friend.
That's why
of
we're
a
not
friend.
Saying
he's a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
I
know
sucked. No, I didn't think it was.
I thought you did
it
say
terrible.
It sucked. I did, but not to you.
No.
I've heard a lot
well,
worse.
Gary, it sucked.
Why didn't you like it?
I'm a traditionalist. I just want a nice, simple, some lady singing anthem.
I don't need some guy playing a guitar.
What about when a guy does it like on a bugle? Or
I don't like it. I
or
like
saxophone.
Just sing the
don't
anthem.
Like it.
Just a plain sing the anthem.
Oh, it's not the guitar. It's the instrument part.
So
I don't mind that. Now, is he with a band or something? Or who
he's
is
a
he?
Soloist. He's a solo guitarist. Kind of like Jimi Hendrix type of thing.
He doesn't play in a band or anything?
Like I think he was in a band, you know, years years ago, but he has a solo career now.
I'm a writer.
He comes out with his own CDs?
He's got like 15 of them.
Does he sing?
Not really.
It's just instrumental.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. You have to really like guitar.
I'm a radio personality, kind of like Howard Cosell.
No, I didn't say he was Jimi Hendrix. I'm just saying in that.
Well, the comparison, you went right to the top of the food chain.
I can't think of any other solo guitar. Well, Stevie Vai, maybe.
Never heard of him.
Well, but you're an idiot. You're musical.
No, he was with David Lee
like
Roth.
Music.
That's what I'm saying. You're a musical dimwit.
Did he play with David Lee
Roth? No, I just
Roth?
Don't like it.
Who? Stevie Vai?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't remember.
Brad writes in, are you kidding me? Toilet wipes?
But not Brad. Try them.
Try them.
I'm giving you the challenge. This is like that Coke Pepsi challenge they used to do.
Is this like the
try the wipes? If you don't like them, I'll think about refunding your money.
I think it's more that's what we're talking about.
You're as passionate about that as Mark Capello was about the hot towels on the
more
plane.
More so.
Well, this is
more
way
so.
Better because it's a far more sensitive area.
Well, that's
so fresh and so
clean.
I'm
thinking about suing the toilet paper industry. That's how serious I am about this.
Well, this is our 120 diversion. All right, let's see. Louis writes in from Tampa. Fred, when you say that one fan gets the tour at Gillette, does it include some kind of interaction with Ms. Acra?
Sure. Or you can just go to my gym and see Ms. Acra all the time.
She works out there?
Yeah.
Wow. Is the NFL considering some kind of penalty on the Steelers for that horrendous field Monday night? I remember the Patriots got a lot of criticism because of theirs.
There were torrential downpours. I know they put the turf over the turf. Maybe that was a bad decision, but they didn't. I mean, the torrential downpours was the biggest factor.
Yeah, but they do have a problem.
I was
going to
say
field.
It still would have stunk.
They had a problem last year
because five games were played before 2 days.
So now we have field turf here, and we're just calling out everybody else.
We admitted it, and we got a new field.
The league made you.
I'm going to agree with Fred.
Will the league make them? It's the question.
I think a lot of people have complained about Heinz Field.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with Fred on this.
Will the league make them get one as well?
They should have a field turf field, no question.
Although they may not have a home playoff game, so it may not be.
But it doesn't.
It's looking like every stadium is going to have field turf.
But Fred, if you want to have high school, if you want to have college, if you want to have pro, get field turf.
Right. Yeah.
They have a lot of use there.
But it seems like every stadium is doing that.
Yeah,
and that'll be a problem when they find out what the bad thing is with field turf a couple years from now.
We'll be back
when they put the AstroTurf in.
Right, there'll be issues down the. You know, all these Liz Franks that are popping up. All of a sudden, they do a study and say, you know what? That's from field turf.
Right. By the way, is that Greg's normal tone of voice, or does he get higher before calling up to the show?
Oh,
Craig in North Carolina.
Where is Greg? I haven't heard him in a while.
Oh, he didn't call today? Oh, I thought he was referencing a
phone. Speaking of calling in, a little programming note. At about 2:20, is it, Gary? 2:15, Ron Jaworski will be joining John Rook.
Jaws?
On the next show, so you want to stay tuned for that interview.
Jaws! He loves PFW. Big PFW
fan. He does. Big one. All right, let's see.
big one.
Chris in the Bronx.
One what?
One question. Where do you see Chad, the defensive player, was overwhelmed Brown fitting in? We talked about it.
In the rotation somewhere. I mean, not as a starter. Let's hope not.
I don't think you're going to see too much of him. And if you do, I think he'll be released the next week.
The defender was just overpowered.
Now, see if this holds your interest. In some cases, both choices are possible, but only pick one for each. More likely versus Baltimore. Ready? One, Maroney catches a pass, or Chad Brown activated.
Chad Brown activated.
Dalis Thomas has two sacks, or Asante has one pick.
Asante pick.
You say sack, Tom?
Yeah, because Ogden is having a terrible year. He's been injured, and guys are just – I think Thomas is going to have a big game going back to Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. I'm with Tom. Maroney rushes for over – 25 yards, or Moss catches two TD passes.
Moss catches two TD passes.
Maroney over 25.
I'm with Andy there.
Why?
I just think
he had a terrible game and he had 31.
Right.
But Baltimore have a good
ball?
Well, Baltimore has a good run defense, right?
I just think 25 yards is nothing. And I think they're going to try to run it a little bit.
I think Moss catching two TD passes is nothing.
Brady gets sacked twice, or Bowler gets sacked four times.
Bowler four times.
Yes.
Pat score 38-plus, or Ravens score 17-plus?
38-plus.
The Ravens wouldn't score 17 in 2 months.
Yeah, if they played that game for a year.
Okay, this is Category 2. More likely in the Pats' future.
Category 2.
Pats go 16-0, or the Pats' three playoff games are all blowouts.
16-0.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree. Brewski and Seau share the field, or Alexander gets more time in rotation.
Brewski, Seau.
Yeah, Brewski, Seau.
Pats average 35-plus points per game, or opponents average more possession time than the Pats?
35 plus.
Sure.
Brady's QB rating is 110 plus in the final five games, or
why do people care
completion
about
percentage below 68%.
Who cares?
110.
Sure. That's a ridiculous stat, that QB rating.
Maroney, the kicker is not happy. The guy who added yards to his field goal to bump up his average, not happy about passer rating.
Maroney starts three of the remaining five games, or Pats draft a running back on day one in 08.
Push.
Pats will definitely draft a running back on day one, I think.
Wow.
I'll take the three of five.
Might even be Darren McFadden.
But you see, starting on this team means nothing. You know,
I agree.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if he's going to start. It might just be Falk, or they might not have a running back.
Could be Echol.
Could be.
Let's see. Zach says, when I was watching the game Sunday versus the Eagles, I thought that it looked like Randy Moss wasn't even trying to play. I know they were covering him good,
one game
but
he
had a couple
score,
of opportunities that he didn't even look like he tried to make an attempt to get the ball. What do you think?
I think he's done that all year. In the game when he didn't catch a couple touchdowns, you picked up on it. I think we talked about it in Indy. He didn't want to go across the middle. He made plays in that game to win, so nobody talked about it. This week they have a tight ball game. He doesn't get a touchdown, and we turn on him because that's what we do as New England fans. Like that, turn on you. Boom. Favorite player, now you're our most hated.
Bob,
just,
and
just a quick aside. Has anyone seen the size of Anquan Boldin?
Oh, yeah.
He's huge.
Entering the David Boston. I was like, isn't Boldin number one? Because I thought the guy they just threw to was a tight end. They're showing the game here on NFL Network. I think he's getting a little bit too big.
Yep.
There he is again.
People get addicted to that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bob is in Regina, Canada. He says, why
God
is there not
you,
more controversy over the parabolic mic issue clearly revealing Tom Brady's signals and audibles in his facial expressions and body language?
Facial expressions?
And not doing the same with A.J. Feely. Is it because NBC is untouchable and God, while Belichick is considered branded and the devil?
Yes.
No, I think it just has – you couldn't hear the other guy because the crowd was
– and we talked about it. They went no huddle, so he was on camera a lot longer. There was more of an opportunity to tape him, show his facial expressions, giving away everything. They might never win another game now that people know his facial expressions.
Wow. Somebody has a link to an ESPN story about Bo Jackson.
Oh, what is it?
That he shot a bear in the face and that Andy Hart pooped his pants. I'm not sure what this is all about.
Did he really shoot? I don't care about the joke part, but did he really shoot a bear in the face?
I don't know.
Did he really shoot the bear?
I don't know. Gary's going to have to.
Isn't that sort of against the point as a big game hunter? Don't you want the head to put on your wall? Now he's got a
maybe it was attacking him.
Is he a big game hunter?
I don't know. He used to hunt when he was younger, but.
Raul says a couple questions.
That would be a great story.
Can you hunt? Can you even hunt bear?
Oh, yeah. All those big game people have bear.
It depends
on their
wall. Where and
yeah,
what
I don't
kind,
know what
yeah.
the rules are, but.
Yeah.
Did it just open up around here?
Bear season?
I saw.
No,
hunt,
every time I go down the highway, there's guys
down
like.
Route one?
Well, no, mine was on 24 North. They're all pulled over and like 20 guys in orange hats and jackets going into the woods.
There was a guy I saw.
Was
down,
one of them Fred?
Down route. Yeah.
Oh, but what? Was there an Amber Alert yesterday? Around here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. You tell me they were looking for a kid?
They might have been. I don't know. I thought I saw something.
But I definitely saw, you know, near the Foxborough State Police Barracks.
Yeah.
There's all that woods over there. Yeah. I saw a guy pulled over and had his outfit on, his camouflage,
Fred.
And was going. I don't know if it was
maybe
Fred,
deer season opened.
I want more than a pellet gun if you're going hunting.
Raul says, where is Dave Thomas? He's on IR. Two, I don't agree with your analysis that Maroney hasn't been productive. Whenever his number's been called, he has contributed. He has 104 carries so far for 467 yards, which is a 4.4-yard average. The thing is that with our outstanding passing game, we have been using Maroney only if
anybody
needed.
Check his last three games? Why don't you go ahead and check his because when the number three starts off your average, his average goes down every week, just so you know that. It started at 4.9, it was 4.7. Now, so next week we're going to say, well, now 4.2 isn't that bad. He's over 4 yards. It just
so wait, when a number starts three for average, it's not that good? You know what Willie Parker's average
yes,
is?
I knew.
Mr.
Three,
must stop?
3.9.
Might want to stop Roethlisberger, too. Pretty much a key to that team.
But I'm just saying, I'm using my eyes. I'm not going on the internet, and I'm not looking at numbers. And I have nothing against Maroney. He's a great kid. I liked him coming out, and I hope he proves...
Liked him? You wanted to have his baby?
Yeah, I had him in the Pro Bowl, for Christ's sakes. I hope he proves me wrong, and maybe he's just injured, and all of a sudden, boom, he becomes a star. I'd be happy to admit that I'm wrong. I'm using my eyes. Longest rush this year, 19 yards. If somebody told you when they drafted Maroney that day that 2 years from now his longest run would be 19 yards in his second season, you wouldn't be happy.
I agree. That's the biggest issue. The big plays. The big plays are the biggest issue because he should have the room to work. Everything should be in his favor. So I don't care if he gets four or five carries a game. He should have some 40, 50-yard runs.
That's the key, Andy. These people are making our argument for us. They're talking about the great passing game. If you have a great passing game, you should be able to run the football. Chuck Muncy had 1,200 yards. He's a stiff. He was a stiff, but he played for Air Coryell, and they threw the ball so well that he was able to find room to run. You should have more yards.
Hey, Gary, giving you the last three games.
Hang on here.
You're doing a fine job, Gary.
I can't read this.
You're underpaid.
Scott in Washington, while you're trying to figure that out, I guess those wipes really did change Tom's life because that little comment he had about Maroney was hysterical. That Maroney probably had on a black jersey because he's now on the scout team. I'm still rolling over that one, even though it's sad that Maroney is so absent this year. I'm heading to Baltimore for Monday night's game, and the weather forecast is for 31 degrees and rain. Sorry we can't be more hospitable to you down this way.
Okay, now, Maroney had two good games early on in the season. He had 15 carries against San Diego for 77 yards, and he had 19 carries against Buffalo for 103 yards. Now, his last three games, his average is 3.9, 3.2, 3.1. Now, he's supposed to be healthy, right? Now, he was injured, and now he's supposed to be healthy. And now when he came back from his injury, his numbers were 5.2 and 5.4. That's when he first came back.
Right.
So he should be more healthy now, and his numbers are going down.
He's not in a rhythm. Dan in Fairfax.
Not in a rhythm.
Dan in Fairfax says, Tom was right. Steve Vai's most famous days were with David Lee Roth, but he also played with Whitesnake and Frank Zappa, mm-hmm. among others. He played the Devil's guitarist in the movie Crossroads and did the guitar duel against Ralph Macchio at the end. He is a brilliant guitar player.
See, I know my 80s rock, my friend.
I was him. I was this and not you.
I don't care.
I know.
I don't give a rat's ass.
I know. That's why.
There you go.
There you go. Good job, Gary.
Let's see. Tony says...
Call himself.
He wanted to know about the wipes.
They're great.
Phenomenal.
Get them.
Pick them up.
I mean, it's not just us. I would say half the locker room uses wipes. They love them. Because especially when you're in a public facility or any place like this where you get that real cheap, thin paper that just cuts the heck out of your butt, now you got the nice, soft, you can get them in little pouches, little packets.
Now that we told them the players use them, everyone will go out and get them.
Exactly. We deserve money from the wet wipe industry.
Obviously, you know, there's people interested in this because Matt from Quincy says, I've been on the Cottonelle wipes bandwagon for years.
Yes, they're great.
But there is a certain technique you must practice which involves not over wiping or you will have a sensitive area that will start to feel like field turf.
I don't know what that means.
I haven't had that problem yet.
I enjoy the wipe. Stadium.
Maybe we should sell Patriot
PFW wipes. The only thing we're good for, wiping your
beep. I hope it's Flanders.
Brad says, do you really think they didn't take last year's draft seriously? That sounds asinine.
Look at the picks. They were even more asinine.
Aren't two of three of those draftees injured, he says?
Come on. Who are you talking about?
If you're holding out hope that Oscar Lua and Mike Richardson are your steals of the... And maybe Mike Richardson can develop into like a seventh corner someday.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if that's what you're holding out hope for on your draft, then you're in trouble.
Dave.
By the way, to that emailer, how's the first round draft pick doing? I'm just wondering because he's behind Rashad Baker, who barely made the team.
Dave says, I worry about the Steelers. The Steelers are last in rushing defense. Maybe that's why Bill held Maroney back. Big offensive game this week. I think they will hold back on running again. What do you think?
The Steelers?
Not last in rushing defense.
That cannot be right.
That doesn't sound
last. I think maybe he meant the Ravens, but they're not.
No, they're good at run defense too.
Listen, I don't know this for a fact, so I'm not going to shoot off my mouth. But I would be shocked if the Steelers are last in rush defense because nobody runs the football on them.
Plus, it would be impossible because they're a top 10. I don't see how they could be last in one.
Yeah,
I think
that's wrong.
Okay,
Gary, can you check that? Do you know how to do that? Stacy sends
out
the formatted league statistics.
What's going on with that ESPN link and Bo Jackson?
Yeah, did he really shoot a bear?
It's a long story. I forward it to you.
But he really shot a bear? Wow. If I could get a picture of that and get that autograph, that'd be something no one has. Big on eBay.
Okay. Some clarification. Just to let you know, the guys in orange hats were probably deer hunters as shotgun season opened recently.
Now, does your little thing
we call that redneck season?
What's that? Was a ton of them. Does your little gun?
My little gun? I'm gonna have you run in my backyard. I'm gonna shoot you with my little gun. The most in the big head.
I'm saying you.
Can we all have a
me.
Shot, Fred.
In my opinion, the most useless thing
what?
Human
can
beings
we all have
do
a shot?
What? Yeah. Hunt
is dress up, get a gun, go sit in the cold, wet woods and wait for an animal to walk by so they can shoot it.
Who lives in New Jersey? That's so like hooked on that stuff that he gets fired from jobs because he just
it's
loses
hunting season.
Yeah.
Now
it's big. I mean, you hear Felger rant about it.
I'm get up at 3 o'clock.
Well, remember when we were in Green Bay, it was let
right.
off the news.
Yep.
But listen, I'm sure people think my life is a little weird because I don't do anything but watch football, and I can understand that. But I just don't get the thrill of getting all dressed up, getting up at 4 in the morning to sit in the wet, cold, freezing woods hoping a deer might walk by. Can't you just
kill it?
Can't you just go to the store and, like, buy pork chops?
Well, that would be pig.
Well, I'm saying
venison
like,
is what you were thinking.
Well, no, I know
but
what it
people
is.
People don't like venison. Right. Does everybody love venison?
Can I, Andy? If I go on eBay, can I buy a deer head?
I'm sure.
See,
well,
I don't
go.
Like.
I just
well, somebody
deer.
Has.
I don't like hunting.
To get it.
I'm not a hunter. I don't like killing things.
I say
I like fishing.
Things.
What?
I say when you get that gun, you get bored hitting those cans.
Yep.
I say sooner or later you'd kill himself.
Do you throw the fish back?
Now, if there was a squirrel trying to get in the house or something, I'd nail it.
You would defend your property.
That's right.
Do you throw the fish back?
Yeah, catch and release,
catch
no
and
barbs.
Release?
Yeah.
Catch and release?
Yeah. What?
Just so you know, I don't.
You're
gonna
do
that.
It. Do it.
Do you watch the bass fishing tournaments on
I
ESPN?
Could go to the store and buy fish.
Right. So what are you doing standing in the water
oh,
fishing?
You don't understand how much fun it is.
I've fished. It's not fun.
It sucks.
Fly fishing
sucks.
Fly fishing. Not. All right. You know, standing.
And that
up,
I would suck at.
Not standing
at
on a bridge
eye.
Next to some guy smoking a cigarette.
Okay.
Jay says, carrying forward a theme from Felger's show yesterday. If you could sign
means.
Only one player between Moss and Samuel. Who would you choose? As much as I love what Moss has meant to the offense, I think Samuel is more important to the success of the team. If they lose Samuel, and with the way Hobbs plays and has played this season, they are screwed in the defensive backfield.
I would sign Samuel because of age,
yeah,
because how good he is right now. Yeah. And then you have that. Still, you have that little doubt with Moss. You know, will it continue? So I think Samuel's the safer.
And you're at a crossroad here because we've talked about some veterans are going to come off the books. The Steelers are not last. They're the best on that page in yards allowed rushing.
I was going to say, I think they're one.
They're above the Steelers. I mean, the Ravens, and I know the Ravens are pretty good at it, and so they're in the top five or something. I don't know what that guy was referencing, but it was totally wrong. But, yeah, I'd sign Samuel. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Harrison, Vrabel, all these guys are talking about making a couple mil a year. You're going to replace them with who knows what, probably lower. You know, it's one of those things where this might be a good time to sign Moss, sign Samuel, get some of that money out of the way before you have to do Will Fork and different things. So I definitely think you have to sign Samuel and Moss.
Yeah,
both
what you
those
got there, Tom?
The Steelers have given up 77.1 yards per game on the ground. That's not last.
That's
in the top
tremendous.
Five. Right. And Maroney be lucky to get 25 yards in that game.
Stripper says, as far as the top five pick for the Patriots, I've seen Laurinaitis, even McFadden, but one mock site has Chris Long, defensive end for Virginia. The rich get richer thanks
Harvey
to the 49ers. Skate. If the Pats land a top pick, it's probably likely that they'll trade out. If they stay put, Chris Long provides quality depth along the defensive line for the Patriots defense.
Is he a true lineman?
He's a lineman. They're talking about maybe moving him over to a 3-4. I don't know what his coverage is. Listen, those mock draft things, I wouldn't be looking at those right now.
Yeah.
We don't
like
know
Tom used to be writing them.
Yeah, exactly. No, Andy makes a good point. People like me used to write them. So the thing is, we don't even know who's coming out yet. You got to get all that stuff. You can't really look, in my opinion, at those mock. And I think they're fun. I think there's a place for them. But you have to wait till the combine. You have to wait until these guys test.
And not just the combine, the North-South game or whatever it is.
The Senior Bowl.
The Senior Bowl. Right.
And you start to get – then that's when people start to get an idea where guys are going to go. Obviously, Long's going to be a top 5, 6, 7 pick. He's a phenomenal player.
But I don't see him as a
I don't either.
Convert.
I also don't see him
as freakishly athletic. I'm not big on taking the risk there either way, but I know every once in a while these wear guys and they have the athleticism. I don't see him as a freakish athlete that I would take.
If he was on the team, one of your heroes might be around the stadium
more. That's true. I'm off the juice now, too. He'd be happy.
Who, Howie?
Yeah.
Well, he's big at not stepping into his son's limelight. He doesn't want cameras on him. He doesn't want people talking about him.
Remember, they used to show him at games, like, hiding behind, like, scoreboards, just sort of peeking around, watching.
He wants him to have his own career and his own life.
That.
And
you know, he was in the studio once.
Yes, we told the story.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
We haven't?
Yes. Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia. Two humorous points from a morning of listening to ESPN radio while waiting for PF Progress to start.
PF Progress?
During one of their Sports Center updates, which occur every 20 minutes or so, the guy mentioned Roosevelt Colvin's season-ending injury. He went on to say that Bill Belichick said he didn't know whether Colvin injured his foot or his arm. All he knew was that he was out for the year.
That's not what he said.
I don't think Bill is so focused on football that he totally ignores why one of his starters is placed on injured reserve. Maybe I'm way off.
Yeah, you are.
Bill didn't say that. There was confusion within the media. Some people thought for some reason that it was an arm injury.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Because when he was standing on the field and the three trainers were around him, he did have an arm out.
Yeah, they were supporting his weight.
No, they were standing there for a while. I can see where that
person thought it was. I think they were supporting his weight. And I thought it was obvious that it was a lower extremity injury from the get-go. They announced it. I don't think they tried to pull a fast one.
No, but it was the way Bill reacted to the question that made it look like he was trying to be cute with it.
But he was. So, he doesn't want to be. Who asked the question?
The reporter from the Herald.
That reporter in the Herald could say, "Is your name Bill Belichick?" And the answer would be confusing and not very helpful.
Two, then during the Colin Cowherd show, which is Vrabel's favorite,
a
guy named Tony Moss from SportsNetwork.com agreed with Cowherd when he equated the loss of Colvin, who they had previously established as the Patriots' best pass rusher, which is a joke, to the loss of Dwight Freeney in Indianapolis. I didn't realize Rosie was a perennial Pro Bowler who routinely gets double-digit sacks and forces opposing offenses to completely alter their game plans.
The defense got better in the short term without Roosevelt Colvin. He has not been playing well.
Dan says, "You guys seriously are the only people I rely on for accurate assessments of the team."
You poor bastard.
But he's right. That's all laughable. Colvin has had a terrible year. He has not made any big plays. He's gotten a couple sacks the way he gets them all the time. The quarterback falls down and he touches him. Yeah, he's deflected passes and recovered fumbles when he couldn't get near the pass rusher.
Doesn't the other guy have like 9 sacks?
Who's the other guy?
Vrabel.
Oh, yeah.
So even if you didn't know anything about the Patriots and you were just looking at stats,
right,
why would you say Roosevelt Colvin is their best pass rusher?
We talked about Vrabel possibly competing for defensive player of the year.
Does it make sense?
Tony's determined to get in his information about the wipes. He says the swash is better than the wipes.
What's the swash?
I don't know. He's got a
is that one of those Portuguese things?
I don't know.
That you hang your butt over the little shower that comes
That's
out?
That's a bidet.
That's called a bidet.
Oh.
I don't need that.
I had a Portuguese girlfriend who had one of those. I was tempted to use it, but I was like, well, what if I leave poop in the thing? Then I got to clean it.
You're not supposed to take a dump in it.
I'm surprised you didn't think it was a drinking fountain.
Easy.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about, nor do
it's
I want to
It's next to the toilet, and it looks sort of like the shape of a toilet, but it's got a sprayer that comes out upward.
It's like a fountain.
And you're supposed to hover over it, and it cleans you off.
It cleans you.
But I was like, well, what if
I
poop
like
goes everywhere?
I don't like the sounds of that at all.
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
Is it for men?
It's
for
both. For women? In Europe, they have
in
a lot
Europe,
of
they have them all over the place.
Yeah. You ever read Tropic of Cancer?
No.
Okay.
No.
No. Henry Miller?
Mm-mm. Not even the literary guy over here has been reading Ronald Reagan for 2 months.
Yeah, that's a popular book. I'm surprised you haven't read it.
Tropic of Cancer?
Yeah.
No.
Mike from North Reading. Hey there, Cork Soakers. Was wondering if you think that the Eagles playing the Pats close was good or bad for their chances of going 19-0 and
good.
Or winning the Super Bowl.
I think it was good because they won.
I have heard some say that it's good for the Pats to play a team close as a wake-up call, but I agree with grading radio personality Perillo that the Pats weren't...
Speaking of that, I think he should be on in a few minutes.
That the Pats weren't suffering a letdown. The Eagles just played very, very well. I worry that a little of the invincibility the Pats possess has been eliminated after seeing an average NFL team hang with them after they blew out the last two non-Indy teams they faced. What do you think? Was the close game good or bad for the Pats?
Well, just a point of fact here. Two of their last three games have been close.
Right.
Two of their last three games, they were behind in the fourth quarter. So,
but one was
one
at
of
least
them was against.
Against
the
but I'm just
considered
saying,
a good
it's
team.
Not like this came out of nowhere. If you look at the games, two of the last three
right.
games have come down to the fourth quarter.
I think you
can
argue either.
You're going to get that in the NFL. Some week, you know,
right.
a team's
right.
going to play.
Anytime you win and you're not injured badly,
but you can argue,
I think it's good.
Yes. They're more motivated now because they almost lost, or right. you can argue the other team's more motivated because they're not beat right when they get off the
right.
bus.
Right.
I don't know the answer to either, and I don't think either is really that relevant. I fall under Bill Belichick on this one. Whoever plays better is going to win. But that is the Michael Gee theory, by the way. You've got to give him credit because he, a few years
better
back,
to lose than,
wanted them to lose and end the streak.
Well, let's go over the games real quick.
Okay,
right?
What are we going over?
The Jet game was close until the Hobbs return right after the half, okay? San Diego blowout, Buffalo blowout, Cincinnati blowout. Cleveland?
They gave them a game.
Okay, they were around. The Cowboy game they led in the third quarter. Yep. That game was close going into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Miami, no shot. Washington, no shot. Indy, close. Buffalo, an abomination. And Philly, close.
So you're looking at like two-thirds blowouts.
Yeah, so it's not like they just beat every team. I know we've kind of made it, even us, have made it sound that way.
Right.
Because a lot of the games haven't really been in doubt. Even when Dallas took the lead, I kind of knew that... But this was one of those.
This was like a Washington team, kind of a middle of the pack. Do they have a chance? Because there's some teams you eliminate, like a Buffalo,
teams that can't
hang. And there's other teams that are clearly, you know, Dallas and Indy are in the mix as the top five teams in the NFL. Do the middle of the pack, you know, the Steelers, I don't know where, depending on where you think they are they middle of the pack?
I just say that I think they got a lot of good wins. I mean, they beat San Diego. They beat Cleveland. They beat Dallas.
Cleveland
they beat
could
Indianapolis.
Go 12-4.
Yeah, they beat Indianapolis, and they beat Philadelphia, who's still in the play. I mean, I think they have a lot of good wins. And if they beat Pittsburgh, too, they've beaten everybody.
They're going to
they
have beaten everybody
in the NFL.
Except the Packers, I guess, if you want to argue there.
If they want to play, I'm sure the Patriots will play them anytime they want.
By week, they'll be happy to play them.
Mike also says, P.S., Old Man Casale needs to be a call-in guest to the show. You might need to put him on a seven-second delay, but listeners want to hear from the masterful football mind that sired Nightlight Casale. Can we have your dad call into the show?
Oh, my father?
Yeah, Old Man Casale.
Oh, you don't want that.
I thought he
was
Old Man Casale.
So did I.
Why not?
Because...
Tom doesn't want that.
I have to talk to him once a month as it is. It's, you know...
You don't think we should have him, like, call him once a week?
I just had to spend $50 on him for Christmas. He's rubbing me the wrong way.
That's with a 30% discount.
P.P.S., can I download the Felger Show with Hans and Franz anywhere? I work in the middle of a cement building, and I barely get EEI, much less the tin can Felger Show is broadcast from. Miami. I don't know. Yeah, that's ESPN radio.
Yeah, we're never going to be on EEI.
That's true.
For reasons that I won't discuss here.
Wow.
We're getting blackballed.
Brad, we're like Jose Canseco.
Brad writes in again, my point wasn't that it was a great draft. I think it's too early for that anyway. It's that you said it was bad because the team didn't take it seriously. That is what sounded asinine.
You guys are taking words seriously, meaning that they didn't like a lot of players. Not that they didn't sit there and do their work and scout every single player.
Yeah, Bill didn't go to the beach and then every once in a while send a text
He's
message.
It's not Mike Ditka.
Give me an O lineman, whoever's left.
No, we're not saying that. We're saying seriously by they knew going in at the top end of the draft, they didn't like a lot of guys.
Right.
And they probably planned if we could make trades for future drafts, we're going to do it.
Yes,
that's what we meant by not seriously. Not that they didn't do their work. They probably knew the height, weight, and every player in the draft.
And by the way, not taking it seriously in the past has helped them. They got a guy by the name of David Givens who helped them win Super Bowls by not taking it seriously, by passing on a pick and just throwing a guy out there. They hit jackpot with that. So not being seriously can work out good and bad.
Let's see. Frank writes in, and he, too, is interested in the wipes.
Should be.
He said, I had to comment on your mention earlier on the use by the team and yourselves of the moist wipes. I couldn't agree more. I work for a very popular female country music artist.
Ooh.
I tour with the Road Crew and have for the past 8 years. All of the roadies use the wipes exclusively, and there is no comparison to paper. Our mantra with our camp is either you rock or you suck, and moist wipes rock.
Yep.
Give us a little more of a hint on who
that is.
And can she do the anthem? Because we've had terrible anthems here this year.
Oh, relax.
I want to know
Awful.
If you guys feel
relax.
Like the Colvin loss will have a major impact on the defense for the remainder of the schedule. I think it will.
I think it's indirect.
Only because of the inside. If those guys get worn down.
If
we were
they
talking
stay
about
healthy
that before.
And play fine, then I think the defense might be better.
Yeah, we were talking about that before you got here, Andy. Even though Colvin hadn't played well, his ability to be on the field allowed that nice rotation at inside linebacker. He didn't do anything at outside linebacker, but having Thomas being able to rotate, now it's going to be interesting to see how that.
I still have my questions. If Eric Alexander was good enough to play in the title game, why is he not good enough to rotate through a little bit?
I don't think he was good enough to play in the title game.
Well, he wasn't, but you
that's
know,
one of those
point.
Ones when Bill's on his deathbed and you say, Bill, give us your top five coaching mistakes. He's going to say, I hate to say it, but we're starting Eric Alexander in that championship.
But if you take it on face, I mean, he had some confidence in him, right? Some at all? We can't rotate him in on first down?
I actually like Eric Alexander. I have no confidence in him. And I like him.
I kind of agree, but I'm just using Bill's logic. He started him against the Colts. You can't start him against the Ravens, play against the Ravens in the fourth quarter at all?
Well, the other thing that might be, you know, did you talk about Pierre Woods at all?
I wasn't here.
Yeah, and what he said, he made a mistake when he said that.
Right.
When he said, what did he say, Fred? You need to, Pierre Woods. Remember what he said? We said he shouldn't have said what he said. Shut up. Just,
well, he didn't say
it. I'm telling me to shut up because I'm babbling.
You're babbling.
Yeah, I'm talking to myself.
You talked earlier about Pierre Woods and what he said to the reporters in the locker room today?
No. Oh, for Christ's sakes. He said, go ask Bill.
Oh, that part. Well, he didn't say anything, but he wouldn't.
The thing I thought was interesting was that we're all speculating about Alexander getting a lot of playing time. He's the one who did talk today.
Right.
And the guy who nobody's talking about and wanted to talk to said, no, don't talk to me. Usually Bill gives those commands to guys who are, you know,
talk to Bill
in the mix.
And he shouldn't have said, go talk to Bill.
And then he said, he told me not to talk.
Yeah, that's what it was. He told me not to.
He told me not to talk. And we said,
that was an easy
the
one.
Talk to Bill thing is okay, but I'm sure the other part that Bill said is, don't tell him I told you to say that.
Right.
He could have just talked to, like, you know, you say, you know, I'm on this team. I got to be ready anytime.
Yeah.
If my number gets called, who knows? I never know.
Right.
You know,
he's a bit of a loose cannon, I think.
I just found it interesting that one of the linebackers in the mix talked, you know, at length.
Are you
and the other
one's not really in the mix?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that might be an indication of who might be and who might not.
Patrick from Ontario is taking this from Reese's blog. These are Maroney's comments. Running back Lawrence Maroney pointed out the distinction between his role and Kevin Faulk's. Quote, Kevin is our passing guy. He's that situational part of the team. Kevin is the passing running back, so when we're in that formation, Kevin is the guy. Lawrence is the running guy. Kevin is the passing guy.
Whoa.
We know our role.
He said
himself?
Lawrence
in third person?
Yeah.
Every time he talks, I like him less and less.
So Lawrence is the running guy. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Maroney. Six carries, 14 carries, 15 carries, six carries, 10 carries. All right.
Maroney also acknowledged that it was nice to get the call on the running play that scored the team's winning touchdown against the Eagles. Quote, it made me feel that they have a little faith in me. I couldn't let them down, he said.
Apparently that's very little.
That's a telling comment, though.
Yeah, it is.
It made me feel that they had a little faith in me.
That means he, up to that point, he was questioning
and
it.
I,
that's right.
And I said, Andy.
Good. Good reading between the lines, Tom.
I said before what you've said, Andy, in the past about if they're trying to break him down and build him back up, I don't think he's the guy for it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's
just
breaking.
Yeah, there's different ways to get to certain people.
And that's part of coaching.
Patrick says, wow, talk about a guy not getting the, quote, don't say anything to the media memo. You guys have this bang on. I don't know what that means. It must be a Canadian phrase.
Dead
Maroney's
on.
At this. Oh, it must be head on or
dead
on or whatever.
Yeah.
Maroney's at this point pretty delusional about his role on the team. No way he's back next year.
That's the thing, though, about I don't think fans are getting it. Like, Bill's going over the top to praise him. Bill doesn't do that when you're having average seasons. He just doesn't do it. And Maroney constantly sounds like he's LT the way he talks. So all this stuff, it just, something isn't right there. And if fans can't see that, say you disagree with me. Say you disagree with me, that's fine. But if you can't see that something isn't right, then I don't know. I don't have much hope for you.
Another is, I don't know if you talked about this at all, but Bill just continuing as
Ed Reed?
Done, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chris said
when
so.
He out, when his deal is coming near the end and he's got like a huge salary and they cut him, he'll be a Patriot.
It might be
2012 or whenever it'll be, but
he loves
he'll
Ed
be
Reed.
A Patriot at some point.
Yeah.
Bill will take him on this team at some point.
I think he thought maybe that's what he was getting when he drafted Merriweather.
Holy crap. Boy, was he mistaken.
No, he loves Ed Reed.
It's like me thinking I was going to get something good when I ordered that cinnamon melt at McDonald's yesterday.
Oh, that terrible?
What a freaking... It tasted okay because it was covered in white.
Aren't they kind of tiny?
It's tiny. Looks nothing like the picture. It's microwaved. It's like little pouches of dough laid on top of each other. It's terrible.
You didn't like it.
It tastes... Well, it tasted
Hey, Brad, good job reading between the lines.
But it's just, never has there been more false advertising. The thing is just, McDonald's, boo.
Alejandro from Bogota, couldn't write yesterday, but I agree with you that Brian Westbrook is the very definition of MVP. The Patriots' lack of adjustments on defense sucked, and that guy, number 12, is very good. One question to Eagles fans, who are you replacing Andy Reid with? I'm not crazy about coaches calling their plays, but that one was one hell of a job on Sunday.
I don't really know. Is he saying he did a good job? Why is he saying who you're replacing
him with? No, because Eagles fans want him out.
Yeah,
Eagles.
So who would you replace him with?
Oh,
so
okay.
It's, yeah. PS1, peanuts suck. It's right with Andy.
Well said. Who's this?
Alejandro from Bogota.
Oh, he's a genius.
Great. Two people think
actual
that.
Actual peanuts?
No.
No, the peanuts.
Charlie Brown's Christmas Charlie special cartoon. And all that crap.
He doesn't... Oh, you're an idiot.
Right. This is from the same family who thinks It's a Wonderful Life is boring.
I like
what?
It's a Wonderful
and
Life.
And he doesn't like Seinfeld.
Life.
Wonderful
and
life.
He doesn't like
My
Seinfeld.
My
wife doesn't. Seinfeld's stupid.
As long as you don't watch The Wonderful Life that they present on NBC with the commercials every 10 minutes, it's an amazing movie.
And I'm watching in black and white,
not
in color.
Who's this from Bogota?
Alejandro.
Oh, Alejandro, do you like Seinfeld? Because if you say
well,
no...
Well, speaking of that, PS2, only in PFW can you hear the following. Quote, Seinfeld is a bad show or Jason Taylor is overrated. So there's where he parts company with you.
Yes. Okay, so he likes Seinfeld. That. All right.
And PS to Tom, do you still take copies of Philly's phone book to swear at Eagles fans?
No, that was done many, many years ago.
What did you do?
Remember, I was at the game the year the Cowboys won the Super Bowl and the Eagles blew them out. So when they played again in Dallas, the Cowboys won. So I went to the library and I copied phone numbers and I'd call up people in Philadelphia and ask if they were Eagles fans. And if they said yes, I'd start swearing at them.
He really doesn't.
You really
listen.
Have nothing else to do, do you?
That doesn't good. Listen though. You've told that story before on the show.
Oh my god!
I think he's starting to become senile.
I think so too.
Yeah, but not everyone in the show, not everyone listening today, heard it. So if you
but
mentioned,
you hadn't, no, but that's the issue. You hadn't.
But if you mentioned, oh, I did with the phone book. I'm talking for the listeners.
I see.
Sure, you are. Good excuse.
So you don't know how
he's
to run
upset.
A radio show.
He's getting upset.
That's true. I need to get back to Seinfeld. Is funnier than Peanuts. Seinfeld is definitely funnier than Peanuts. Because Kramer
John,
made me laugh.
John is in his basement. John, how you doing?
Excellent, Fred. I'm very amused by what's going on with the Peanuts.
Do
discussion.
You use wipes?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Sometimes I do.
Yay!
Wow. Good man.
Best thing you've ever said.
Thank you for that.
Do you enjoy peanuts?
Do I enjoy, now are we talking about the actual nut itself?
The characters.
Now we're talking about going to the bathroom and peanuts. Now we're going, now we've stepped over the line.
Corn.
I would kind of agree with that, as a matter of fact. I guess just because I'm a little old school, I like the Charlie Brown, Christmas, and I like the Charlie Brown,
Thanksgiving.
The Great Pumpkin. Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, it's not the funniest thing ever created.
No one said it was sweet. Hilarious,
it's charming.
Yeah, it's poignant.
Yeah.
It's
stupid.
It's something that the kids get into. Actually, I'm a bigger fan of the Grinch myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not even in the same league.
That is much
the Grinch better. Is tremendous.
That's because that was your autobiography.
Oh, I see what you did there. I'm always happy.
Very good. Very good.
All right. Everything, including
John,
myself.
You got Ron Jaworski calling in at 2:15, right?
Jaws will be on in about 15 minutes, and Jerry Sandusky, the play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Ravens,
will join us
in the 3 o'clock hour.
What are you going to be talking about with Jaws?
I don't know. Maybe Monday Night Football.
Okay.
Make sure you ask him about PFW. He gets our paper and he loves it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Talk to him about it.
I'll make sure I pointedly ask him who's your favorite PFW writer.
And don't forget to ask him if he uses wipes.
Yes, that is the question of the day. Do you use wipes or paper?
And peanuts.
All right, we'll see you later, John, and we'll see everyone else tomorrow.